B-Pod Studios.
You know, Stan, the other day I was getting my shoe shined, and I said, hey, Chico, what's the word on the street? He said, you want to know about the skunk monkey you call Dr. Finkelbaum?
Yeah, there is a biologist, a wildlife biologist, Dr. John Bengelnagel, something like it's an unpronounceable name, Bengelnagel or something like that.
The doctor formerly known as Bengelnagel.
Right. He is a Bigfoot expert and is quite familiar with the skunk monkey situation here in Florida. And he feels that there are key areas that you need to look at. So let's go to, I think it is Bengelnagel, right here.
Hello, yeah, thank you.
How do you correctly pronounce your name? Bendernagel?
Bendernagel, actually.
Bendernagel.
Yeah.
Well, thank you so much for coming on. I don't know if you have read the papers, because I know the story has gone national. We are getting sightings of our own skunk monkey down here in the Florida Everglades. And we saw, knowing some of the research that you have done on Bigfoot, you might help enlighten us as to what is going on with our own situation here and, you know, about Bigfoot itself.
Sure, that'd be great.
What is the deal with Bigfoot's toe?
Oh, the deal with, they kind of picked up on that. What it is that normally a Sasquatch track looks like a human track with the big toe aligned with the other toes.
Mm-hmm.
Every once in a while, it sticks out like our thumb does. And this is a very ape-like characteristic. This is like the foot of the gorilla and the chimpanzee and the orangutan. It's called an opposable big toe, just like we have an opposable thumb.
Now, do you truly believe that this Bigfoot exists, that there's a missing link here somewhere? I mean, why hasn't anybody captured one? Why don't we have any good film or anything like that?
Well, I do believe that it exists. I don't refer to it as a missing link. I think it's clearly an ape and just another ape. But I think the reason why people pick up on that is because it has these human-like characteristics, like the upright gait and the foot shape.
Mm-hmm.
And I forgot your next question. Oh, why hasn't someone...
Why haven't we caught one of these things?
Oh, well, this is one of the reasons that I'm writing this book, because I think they're being seen more commonly than we think. But you know the taboos associated with talking about this animal. They're pretty strong. They're bad here, and they're strong here, and they're strong where you are. And I have a feeling that they're seen much more commonly than we realize, but people aren't talking them. But nevertheless, I do agree that they're rare, elusive, but I don't think seen quite so uncommonly as we think.
Dr. Fliffenagel, is the Bigfoot and the skunk monkey one and the same? Is it the same creature throughout all the United States, or are there localized variations, do you think?
Well, that's a really good question, because I think these are the questions we should be asking ourselves. Not whether it exists, but since it exists, how does it live? And this thing about species or subspecies. And there's a long history to the skunk ape, you know, from my reading down there in Florida, just as there's a long history to the stuff out here in the West Coast.
Yes.
I think there may well be subspecies or kind of geographical forms where, you know, you're in a much warmer environment up here. I think possibly they're longer haired up here, possibly larger. Those are characteristics of other mammals that live in the north. Yeah, I think it could be subspecies.
Dr. Fliffenagel, the reports that we get regarding the skunk monkey, or swamp demon as it's sometimes referred to, it appears to be a social animal, and not only a social animal, but a social animal that's discovered fire.
Yeah, we've been told by some witnesses that this skunk monkey down here can actually make fire.
Really?
Is that anything, Dr. Fliffenagel, that you've heard?
No, it isn't. I've never heard that. And there's a few reports where from California, Northern California, where a Sasquatch or Bigfoot came to a prospector's fire and kind of played with it and spun a stick around. It seemed to be a thing about curiosity. But no, Grover Krantz, in his book, Big Footprints, talks about, you know, that very thing that we don't. There's a couple examples that you might call tool using, but nothing like the use or knowledge of fire. So that's new to me.
So what do you estimate the intelligence of a Bigfoot or a skunk monkey is being similar to, Dr. Fliffenagel?
Well, I'm thinking of the primate literature and what they talk about for chimpanzees and gorillas. Chimpanzees seem, you know, they're into the tool using, seem to be one of the more intelligent of the great apes. Probably something like that. We do. That's again, that's one of the good questions. We don't know very much. Certainly nothing like humans.
Now, Dr. Binderwind, you say, I guess, in some of your studies that this Bigfoot and or the skunk monkey are meat eaters. They're carnivores. They do actually hunt and eat meat, correct?
It seems so, yeah. There's actually quite a few reports. You know, the thinking traditionally has been that it's a vegetarian, but there's actually quite a few reports of them eating small mammals, birds, certainly deer on the West Coast and probably in southeastern U.S. too.
Dr. Fluffnagel, it appears that almost universally, though, there appears to be a natural fear on the part of the Sasquatch, skunk monkey, Bigfoot, a natural fear of man.
Yeah, certainly very shy, very elusive. Occasionally, though, kind of an indifference or curiosity. And this is what I've done in the book. I've traced the levels or sort of the types of responses to humans. Normally, they hide or they gradually fade away or they actually flee. Once in a while, they'll just stand there and look back. Occasionally, they'll approach people. Usually, kind of sometimes a curiosity.
Yes, Dr. Bagelnagel, do we have any kind of evidence as to how many Bigfoot skunk monkeys exist in the wild? I mean, it seems like every so often there's another sighting in some other part of the country. Do we know that? Are there several of these things?
Oh, yeah, many. Grover Krantz, he threw out a ballpark figure a few years ago. I think he said 2,000 to 4,000 for Western North America. And it's just a stab in the dark, but it might be close. It's very, we have problems here just getting estimates on bear populations. And this one, again, partly because they're not seen often, partly because how many reports are surfacing? Somewhere less than 1% probably. So pretty hard to get a handle on this.
Well, that's interesting, Dr. Binderwagel. But the thing I think that most people are, and we've addressed this before, why hasn't there been more evidence, more physical evidence, more photographic evidence of these creatures?
Because lately, Doctor, with the skunk monkey around here, you know, we hadn't heard reports of anything existing out there for a long time. It was like folklore and legend. Lately, it's been really cropping up, a lot of eyewitnesses to this. What is going on here?
Well, that's interesting. I think that's happening elsewhere, too. I've been reviewing some of the Florida stuff just in preparation for this, and there was something with the Brooksville area back in the 70s that was a lot. And we get these things, and sometimes the workers refer to them as a hot spot, and it's when...
There's a lot of inbreeding in Brooksville, by the way.
Okay. Anyway, we are pushing more and more into the wilderness, and from my reading, that's happening in Florida as similar as it is here. Like, normally, I think, let's assume that there's a population of skunk apes out there, and they're staying in their area, and we humans are staying in ours. And to get a sighting, it's when humans go into their area, or they come into ours, and then you might get a report out of it. Yeah. I think more and more, we're encroaching into wildlife habitat.
Dr. Pumpernickel, we're very short on time. Tell us quickly, if you may, about your book. How can people, especially in this area with the skunk monkey around, get a hold of your book and learn more about this?
Well, thanks very much. I've called it North America's Great Ape, the Sasquatch, because I addressed this issue. And the publisher is Beachcomber Books here in British Columbia, Courtenay, British Columbia. They're constructing a site on the net now. But I think hopefully there'll be some publicity down your way in the fall when it comes out. I have a phone number here, which is area code 25082. And I'm very interested in this, and I'm particularly interested in learning more about what's happening in your part of the continent.
One final question for Dr. Binderwagel.
having fun with that name, aren't you?
It's incredible.
I think of my poor wife, yeah.
I can't for the life of me remember what your name is.
That's all right.
But have you heard any reports of government interference?
Yeah.
With people that have cited these and may have evidence of
it. Because we're getting reports of some government interference. We don't know government. Men in black type of things about this skunk monkey.
Yeah, there's something in the Ohio sightings, which where there seemed to be maybe a certain amount of suppression by government. And we have not had that up here. Our biggest problem with government up here is the government biologists not accepting the animal. But then that's a pretty widespread situation. But, no, I don't know the government position on this.
Mm-hmm. Dr. Spiegelnagel, thank you so much for coming on and spending this time with us.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you very much.
Righto. Bye for now.
friggin' ass off in that Southwest Florida heat. But I'm loving all the people that I get to meet. You got to tune your radio on. Now listen to me. We got that powerful stuff that'll knock you off. Fort Myers, all the radios are on. All over Southwest Florida, you know it can't be wrong. From Marco to Fort Charlotte, they all heard the news. They say 2 o'clock, time to light the fuse. Stan and Haney. Stan and Haney. Stan and Haney all afternoon. The best in local radio that there's ever been. Show it so damn good it makes the Pope wanna sin. Go fell out to the beaches, people laugh out loud. Got the show that draws flies and a bit of a crowd. Stand and hit it. To us once, then you're gonna listen twice. Got up way too damn early for too damn long. Back in the afternoon, that's where we belong. Stan and Haney. Stan and Haney. Stan and Haney. Stan and Haney all afternoon.
Only doing their C-list material right now. It'll get better. 96 KLOX.
I haven't done anything yet.
Oh, Jesus. Junior, can you sign in this computer, please?
He's having a bad day.
I was not aware of that. You know, there's a lot. I need to get caught up here.
Well, I just... He'll have to tell you himself. He got pulled over.
I'll tell you, there is a lot going on.
Cop pulled over.
You know, once again...
He got off because of this show, by the way.
You and I are fine,
yeah.
You know?
He got off
and
because of the
Junior
show.
And Dave have all this drama going on. Your mic's
what?
Not on,
what?
Junior.
I got off before he even knew.
He saw his K-Rock jacket in the back of his sports car and said, oh, you're K-Rock, huh? You work at K-Rock? Yeah, I work for Stan. Go right ahead. Keep going to work. And so this job has already shown him... many benefits.
What happened, Junior?
I was speeding a little bit.
Allegedly.
Allegedly.
You weren't speeding. You were allegedly speeding.
I was allegedly speeding.
How fast were you allegedly going?
I was going 43 and a 30.
Allegedly.
Allegedly. And allegedly, you know, he took all my information and allegedly he let me go.
After he saw he was worked for K-Rock. Stan and Haney.
That was after.
Well, that's...
Like, he said, you're all right, I'm not giving you a ticket, but he's like, oh, that's a K-Rock hoodie. You know, you work for K-Rock? I said, maybe.
Yeah. Is that a good thing?
Yeah. Sometimes it's not.
I don't know.
Sometimes
yeah.
It's not.
But, you know, Junior, that is... minor.
Peanuts is what you're saying? It's peanuts?
Well, it's the other side of the coin. Because You know, in Junior's case, it was good that he was associated with this show.
Yeah.
And I don't want to have to tell the story myself. I don't know if Dave can hear me.
What is he doing here?
Dave?
Why? Go through his mic on. Because he's supposed to be trained in that stuff, but he doesn't know how to do it. He's supposed to be trained to throw the mic on, but he doesn't know how.
Dude, come on, man. I know how
Why
to do
are you
that.
Here? I Dave, don't want you here.
Dave, I have things to do.
We were just talking with Junior, and he allegedly got out of a ticket because he works for this station.
Yeah.
And I was telling Stan, because he doesn't know, it's not always a positive thing when people know that you work for this show.
yeah, that's true.
And you had a little altercation, didn't you?
Yeah, that was on
Get
Tuesday.
Get ready for a lie story.
No, a lie story.
Why would you say that? You haven't even heard it yet.
Because on Tuesday.
How many times have I said, most people you go and they have a story to tell you, you all automatically start with, it's the truth.
I don't even really want to talk
now,
about it.
Now, I hear this, and I automatically start with you that it's a lie.
Well, because everything
convince
you think.
Me, convince me that it really
everything
happened.
Thing you think,
Go.
Man.
I ain't got a lot of time.
I really
Go.
Don't even want to talk about it.
Okay,
but
then leave.
It's already,
what are you doing
it's
here?
Well, I mean, obviously people can see your face, Dave.
Yeah, well, it's not bad, man, you know?
Let me see.
Thank God I'm squirrely.
I don't see nothing
yeah,
on
Yeah, right here,
I
man.
I don't see nothing.
Oh, come on, because the dude barely got me, bro.
What are you talking about? I'm going to give
okay.
you 3 minutes
Stan,
to tell a story.
Stan, I went over to Haney's on Tuesday. I seen Junior over there. We talked. We were on our way home. We all left around the same time, me and Junior. I leave. Takes me a good 45 minutes to get to the house from Haney's. I'm on my way on the Cape Coral Parkway.
Boy, he's it's such a long haul. Such a going out of his way to be at your house.
That's
what he just said.
I'm just saying it's a 45-minute ride, bro. I'm not saying it's a... Dude, get over it.
I think
it.
You're compensated quite nicely.
Okay, now anyways, point being is I'm on my way home, stop on the parkway. My kind of typical gas station. People know that I stop there, I think.
Okay.
I'm going to switch it up. And I stopped to get just a little bit of fuel. I go to get fuel. Some dude says, hey, man, as I'm walking out of the store, hey, you that guy, the waterman? I said, yeah, that's me, man. And he took a cheap shot, smelled like total booze, bro.
He just walked up and hit you.
Yeah,
hit you.
Because apparently somebody
happens.
Had said, hey, you know, last year I got clocked, for God's sakes.
By the kids.
Yeah.
No, last year was in the mosh pit. Remember when I had the big black eye?
But that's what happens in a mosh pit.
I know, man. And then now this. I'm
so this
like,
guy, out of the blue, walks up
totally
to you.
Totally loaded, man. I could smell the alcohol in the dude.
Yeah, you're familiar with it.
Shut up, man.
Now, what I don't understand is you're pointing at your face, but at the same time going, you were too quick for him.
Yeah,
well, no, I'm saying
I don't even see
I'm
a mark.
Whoa, see, look at that, how quick that was.
You see what the hell? What is he doing?
Dude, my hand caught that stupid thing.
Why did this... You're saying it was intoxicated.
I'm saying what I'm thinking happened is this guy
you
sitting
were there.
Around.
What do you got to think? You were there.
What I'm saying is the bit on Tuesday got this guy fired up.
What bit?
What bit on
oh,
Tuesday?
Oh, do you know what bit?
I don't even know what you're talking about. I don't remember one day to the next.
The bit that affected him.
Oh, the bit.
The one that focused on him was about him.
That bit, man. The bit where I'm, you know,
now,
I'm not
he
even
didn't
saying
say
stuff.
Anything about that.
No, he didn't, but
so
that's the only
know?
Thing I can relate it to, unless the dude just don't like me.
I think that's more likely.
Somebody just texted, agree. Why didn't you use your Shotokan skills?
And he
you
did.
Dude, I ducked out of the way, man.
I thought you said you got hit in the face.
Bro, he barely got me because I was ducking back, man. If
Again.
I would have just stood right up to the punch, bro.
So he grazed you.
Yeah, I'm not saying,
graze.
You know, I'm quick, man.
Lie,
but
lie,
first,
lie,
you
lie,
don't
lie.
Know, dude.
But first, even though he's really
When was the last time you got punched, Holmes?
I stay out of trouble.
See,
I don't even
look for it. It finds me, man.
But the intoxicated man first made sure you were Dave the Waterman.
Yes, yeah, I said, and, yeah, that's
and,
me,
and,
bro.
Yeah, oh, of course he does that. You drunk comes up to me, a drunk, and Haney and I have faced it when we're not worried. Drunk comes up to us. Hey, which
man,
one are
man.
You? You Haney? No, I'm not. I'll see you. You, hey, you Dave the Waterman.
I'm coming out.
Why, yes, I am.
No,
I'm
said,
Dave
yeah,
the Waterman.
Dude, that's
you probably
me, bro.
Hear me on
Stan,
camera.
You,
oh, shut
you
up.
Don't
I got
understand.
My own show.
Dave
yeah,
was
right.
saying this is his regular place. That guy may have been waiting for him all day long.
Yeah, he got
been,
nothing to
it
do.
It had to have been a plan.
Yeah, lying in wait.
Yep.
You know, that's a damn good possibility.
You know what?
I stop at that gas station
you never,
every day.
And you never get any credit, and I'm...
I'm going to give you the credit, Dave.
Appreciate it, man.
Because...
is there a police report?
Hell no, dude. No. Why, there's street justice time, son.
Yeah, and you know what? Dave was such a gentleman for not whipping that guy's ass. Yep.
And not calling the cops. Because, dude, I'm tired of it.
You ever watch Barney Fife in the Andy Griffith Show?
Yep. He's... lucky I was feeling compassionate today, Ange.
Yeah. Andy, you must stop it. He killed Barney. You are just so full of it.
So okay, did right. so, but he never right. said anything.
So full of
he
it.
He never right, said Sam. Anything else other than "Are you Dave the Water?"
Yeah, he asked me if I was the water. I said, "Yeah, dude." Wham! Yeah. I was like, "Dude, what's up with that?"
And Dave's head went back into the left.
Back,
lone puncher. Back into the left.
Whatever, man. You are
all
so,
he's trying to
God,
do
God, at least you're making me laugh, man, because I've been in a bad mood.
All he's trying to do is illustrate the price he has to pay for being on this show.
What is it? What it says? No pictures, no proof.
Oh, okay.
Well, picture didn't happen.
Yeah, damn, picture Junior. Didn't happen.
Like I got to, hey, wait, don't hit me yet. Let
so
me
what
get
was
my
he
phone
wearing? What was
and
he
let's
wearing?
Let's take a picture.
Let's see. You know what? I should... should do if I had enough time. I'd do a artist rendition.
Let's do it. Police
where I
sketch.
Could go and do a police
okay, he's,
sketch.
He's got blonde hair, bro. Blue eyes, an orange Izod shirt. Don't turn those down.
We live our lives according to the biblical principle that it is far better to give than to receive, and the management here at Beasley is just fine with that arrangement. Stan and Haney on 96 K Rock.
Stan and Haney here. Thank you for joining us Thursday. In about a half hour. Jesse James Dupree from Jackal will be joining us.
And I'm not even settled yet. What with Junior getting pulled over and Dave being assaulted, I just...
Grab bag in just a second later on today, our question of the week. Dave, have a serious and legitimate question to ask you because I've already inquired about this.
Okay.
Are you talking about Dave's altercation?
Yes.
Okay.
I don't believe you.
Okay, now, that's fine.
For the audience
I never expect you to.
Is just tuning in... when was this, Dave? On Tuesday?
That'd have been Tuesday evening.
Tuesday, Dave was on his way home from the show, and he stopped at the gas station he always stops at.
Yeah.
And he was approached by an inebriated gentleman with blonde hair, blue eyes, an orange polo shirt, riding a beach cruiser. And he approached and said, "Are you Dave the Waterman?" And Dave said, "Why, yes, I am.
You listen to my show?"
Oh, man.
And the guy... didn't say anything else. He just walked up and punched Dave, just grazed him because Dave is very quick with the Shotokan.
Yeah.
Did he swing at you once, twice, three times?
Just once. Just once.
I've inquired.
And what did he do when he didn't connect?
Nothing.
No, he got me a little bit, man. He just barely tapped me.
So did you run away?
And I was like, I was kind of shocked, and he was already taking off. And I was like, whatever.
Here's the deal.
All right, what do you got?
And I'm serious talk.
Fine, man.
And it's either yes with you
or
no. It's a yes or no answer.
Okay.
Somebody suggested this on the Absolute Law text line, but I have already inquired about it months ago with your tall tales.
Oh, man, whatever.
Would you be willing... during 2 to 6 o'clock on any given day, since you don't have a job, would you be willing, yes or no, to take a lie detector test?
Yeah.
To find out if this indeed
happened. He's lying.
Yep. So if we arrange, because I talked to Zito.
I'll tell you, he's got a guy. I know he's got a guy, and I've been waiting for this day.
Do you? Will you take a lie detector test? You know what? This could clear
know,
up
man.
Things.
Because if you pass,
I owe you... one hell of an apology.
I don't like these ideas because I don't know what kind of damn questions you're going
to ask. I'm not asking
you.
I told you it's going to be about this incident.
I doubt that, bro.
I doubt that.
What I'm most concerned...
You'll have me hooked up all day just throwing questions.
Yes or no? Yes or no? Will you be willing to take...
He's hardcore. Of course he will.
Yeah, you know I'll do it. You know I'll do it.
But you know you're going to fail it.
No, I don't.
Okay, we're going to set that up.
No, because what you do is...
Zito. And we're gonna set that up.
You know what I'm most concerned with,
you eat those things? You eat Oreos.
So you want to beat it because
you can beat that.
If you eat Oreos,
but you'll be lying.
Oreos.
Do you know why?
There's an ingredient in Oreos, man. I don't know what it is.
Yeah, it affects your pulse rate and blood pressure.
What I am most concerned with Dave being accosted like that, because we've seen this sort of thing happen in major cities.
Yeah.
And with social media and the way the kids are we seeing the beginnings of something that they call the Dave game?
Yeah, please. I hope this is not going to turn into a viral thing of drunks with blonde hair and blue eyes going up to random
wearing
people.
Wearing
orange shirts and riding a beach cruiser that go and just randomly graze some bonehead in the head. You know, what are they? The Dave game.
Yep.
Grab bag.
What a
brought
jerk,
to you by the Pewter Mug North.
Oreos, huh?
Yeah, Oreos. We're going to hook you up. I'm going to, and I won't even be around.
They'll
put you in another room.
Is it like a regular Oreo, or does it have to be a double stuff?
No, regular old Oreos, man.
Who told you that?
I've done my research.
Yeah, he also
it's
does.
Not like I hadn't been, you know, sequestered and pulled away by the cops before.
Yeah, you never take
and so you eat, and they're not even suspicious when you start eating Oreos?
No, you just make sure you eat them before you go. You know you're going to get tested.
Right on.
Right on, man.
Today is not just any Thursday.
Thursday. St. Valentine's Day. With high-powered, estrogen-driven, testosterone-fueled, romancing and dating love. Get ready for the overpriced flowers. The chocolates. The mushy greeting cards. The overbooked restaurants and more. It's the essential, mandatory, Hallmark manipulated holiday of the year. Don't miss the pressure. The guilt. The expectations. And the jewelry store commercials. Thursday. St. Valentine's Day. You better be there.
Yeah. For some, it's a time to profess their love to each other. Others, it's a time to, well, break the news.
It's Valentine's Day, and what better gift to give your wife than the truth? Introducing the Honey, I'm Gay Valentine's Bracelet. She's suspected it for years, and it's time to end your charade of a marriage so you can finally leave her to be with your longtime male companion. The Honey, I'm Gay Valentine's Bracelet features two solid gold men entwined in a loving embrace, so each time she looks at it, she'll remember that you didn't leave her because of anything she did. You simply left her because she's not Tony or Dave or Alan. That's the Honey, I'm Gay Valentine's Bracelet. Because she deserves it. And because you're homosexual.
Egad. Egad. Oh, here we go. This sounds like Dave, except he's too damn young. A 32-year-old guy in Atlanta got drunk on Tuesday, like Dave.
Right on.
And tried to burn his mother's house down.
Hell yeah. Hardcore.
While she was locked inside with his brother. Why? Because of Cheez-Its.
A Georgia man allegedly set his mother's home on fire over a box of Cheez-Its crackers. The 61-year-old woman had to be rescued from the second-story window. Police say her two sons were home. One was intoxicated, and an argument broke out over the box of crackers. That's when the intoxicated man locked his brother and mother inside the home, poured gasoline on the front steps, and lit it on fire. The brother trapped inside was able to lift his mother down from the balcony and get himself out to safety. 32-year-old Jeremy Watt is charged with first-degree arson and criminal damage to property.
All the effort that woman put into raising that person.
Yep.
I cannot imagine just the rage when you think about all that you have invested in this human being.
Yeah.
A box of Cheez-Its.
Over Cheez-Its.
At least it wasn't Cheetos.
Cheetos? Do you like Cheetos?
No.
Here's another. You know what? You're going to pull a, you know, between a couple. You don't have to tell them everything, but, you know, be honest with them. Let them know what your side job is so that they're nowhere near around.
Police say they've arrested a bank robber who's done this multiple times before. They arrested 56-year-old Stanley Rogers, accused of robbing the Wells Fargo on Randolph Street. Investigators say Rogers did this while his girlfriend was getting her taxes done across the street. They don't believe she was involved. Rogers was previously charged and convicted for Thomasville bank robberies in 2010 and 2011.
Jeff Cito, you all right?
No, but
you go to Publix?
I did, yeah.
Oh,
did you get some soup?
Got a wrap sandwich.
Nice.
I just wanted to make sure you wanted me to waste a good favor on the Waterman.
What?
I mean, if you want me to get the lie detector guy, I mean, it's going to be a waste of time.
Because you're going to prove he's lying.
No, he's
going to be eating Oreos.
He's a sociopath, guys. These guys.
I want to know if he believes it.
He's a sociopath.
Can you get it done?
Yeah, I can get it done, but he's going to pass it.
You think so? I think he's going to fail it.
You think
all the California lies will come out as true?
The sociopath personality, Stan, you know all about psychology.
I don't believe he's a... Well, he is a sociopath.
He's a sociopath. He will pass it.
Yeah,
flying colors. Because that's
so
why
he can sit here and tell you the sky is green, brah, and it will say, well, he's telling the truth.
He's not lying. Yeah.
You can make it happen, though, right?
Yeah, I can make it happen.
I still want to make it happen.
Okie doke.
Then we'll prove one of two things. He's a born liar or he's a sociopath.
He's a born liar or there's a reason these aren't allowed in court.
Yup. This is an interesting question. We don't identify that with this, but people Junior's age would. A new survey asked millennials... What extreme things would they do to get their dream home? And 42% of those surveyed said they'd listen to this for a week straight to get their dream home.
Oh, it can be done.
Oh, I know.
Where do you sign up?
Yeah. I can eat a sandwich, do my taxes. Don't bother me.
I've already had this song in my head for weeks.
Yeah.
Because they like to play it at the hockey game. And I had to be at every hockey game, so I'm immune to it now. Cotton Eye Joe, I've been married a long time ago. Where did you come from? Where did you go? Where did you come from, Cotton Eye Joe?
Junior, you want to read the top text there?
That, the chicken dance, it can't harm me anymore.
Yep. Go ahead.
Hey guys, love the show as always. Long time listener and very faithful. I am blonde hair and blue eyes and live in Cape Coral. I drink a lot, and I hope it was me that took a swing at that idiot.
But
tell my wife,
certain.
Amy, I say hi. She always listens.
Yeah, we got people owning up to it. They're coming in by the droves. Yep, I did it. Where are we? Oh, okay, let's see.
What do you think would be the top California lie you'd want to test him on? Because you're going to have to think about all the things he said.
Yeah, what I'm going to have to do is I'm going to have to think about it.
You know, like jamming with the Ventures, Lock in the Woods.
Yeah, illegitimate children.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because with a lie detector, it's yes or no. Did you... How it would be...
Well, it's yes or no.
Yes.
What if you ask him, are you a liar?
Yeah, no. That's a, do you have illegitimate children living in Mexico? Yes. If that says three things, either A, we'll prove he's a liar, B, we'll prove he's a sociopath, or C, as Haney said, why these aren't admissible in court. you know that actress Monique? She won the Academy Award for that.
Yeah, and then she got blackballed because she told Oprah that she could go and...
Yep. She went and...
Which is anatomically impossible, so I don't know what she was getting at.
She went on to Steve Harvey's show, and I guess it's Oprah...
Lee Daniels.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
Daniels, Ollie, these guys, she's blackballed in the business since she got her Academy Award.
Yeah, Black Hollywood said no.
No. And here she talks about it.
I don't like the fact that you've been blackballed. You can be unblackballed. You too talented to have to worry about all this where the next one coming from. I probably should have called you as soon as, but I didn't. I got a lot of stuff going on.
I understand.
So I didn't. When I did call you, I listened to you. But I began telling you at the very beginning, I think we're going about this the wrong way. Now, we keep saying stuff in the interim that keeps just making it worse. Hollywood know you talented.
But it's making it worse for who?
It's making it worse.
For who?
Okay, if you think it's cool, then it's cool.
That's what I'm saying.
But it's not cool, Mo.
For who?
It's not cool.
For who?
The fact that we're sitting here arguing like this.
We're not arguing.
Okay, we're discussing.
You and your sister, we having a conversation that mommy and daddy ain't
right
here right now.
Cool.
And I'm getting ready to punch you in your mouth. Right. That's the conversation. Bam, bam. Right. I think what happens, though, is I've had to understand how to agree to disagree without being upset. And that's the thing. I disagree with my brother. I'm not upset with you. I love you. I disagree with the way Oprah, Lee, and Tyler did it.
Cool.
But I love them.
I give you that. Now, guess what we need to do
need
to move forward and fix this?
Come on.
These people owe you an apology. You owe those people an apology.
That's right.
Then we can move forward.
Yeah. They should do an episode of The Family Feud. Then they all take care of it.
Do you even know what that's about?
Yeah, she, after she...
Because she told Oprah to blank her blank, that's
yeah,
what it's all about?
It was like she, I guess the Academy Award went to her head, and I can get a job anywhere I want. I'm an Academy Award winner. And they all said, no, you can't.
Oh, just to prove a point.
Yeah, I guess so.
That no matter how good you are, we pull the strings.
Kind of like that. I got to see them in person. They did their tour. They're still doing it. They were on The Tonight Show last night because Jimmy Fallon, I guess 5 years on the air now with The Tonight Show. Steve Martin and Martin Short decided to roast Jimmy Fallon on his show for the 5-year anniversary. These two guys are just geniuses. And they're great.
Oh, all you have to do is sit him down, give him the cue, and it's comedy gold.
And here we go. Steve Martin, Martin Short, on Fallon, talking about 5 years on the air.
This is the greatest show on television because there is no host in late night that pretends to care the way you do.
Thank you.
I mean, no one captures phoniness the way you do. It's a gift. And I love that suit.
You do?
Yeah. Oh, my God. I love the way it conceals all the weapons you have. It's
yeah.
No bulges.
And when I'm home, you know, watching the show, which is rare, but no, when I'm home watching the show, I think, wow, for somebody who does meth, your teeth look great. You wear like a rubber thing?
I don't know
how meth
it's
works.
The whole system. You prove that tall, handsome white men can make it in show business.
Wow. That means a lot to me that you guys are here on the fifth anniversary of The Tonight Show, of me hosting my Tonight Show.
How exciting. Oh, we are. But I think it's so brave of you, 5 years in, and to decide suddenly to abandon the comedy format. I think it's shaking her up.
And we, actually, Marty and I learned. We learned from your show. We were backstage watching the monologue, and we realized, wow, he must put the laughs in later.
They're geniuses. They are spectacular.
What's happened, it's in them now.
Yeah, yeah.
They don't have to think about
it. No,
it's
natural. It's natural. And one plays off the other, and they just go back and forth.
That was awesome.
Yeah.
I do have to say, how brave 5 years in to totally abandon the comedy angle.
All right, here's the deal. When we come back, we're going to open up after our legal ID. We're going to open up with a song which was a huge hit in the early 90s. by a band called Jackal. Called the Lumberjack Song. And after the Lumberjack Song, in studio with us, because he is going to be at the Southwest Florida Event Center on Friday with his band. And he's promoting his line of spirits and bourbons.
Oh, that's good, because our prop bottle of whiskey is almost gone, even though it was never supposed to be touched.
We're going to welcome a man who knows Fort Myers quite well.
Got a bit of history.
Yes, sir. Jesse James Dupree will be joining us from Jackal.
And so hard to believe that we were the ones interviewing him then.
Yes.
When history was made.
Here's the thing I didn't know, and it dawned on me. I was talking to Matt Mangus. How long? I'm dating myself. 1993, November 7th, 1993. Jackal performed with George Thorogood in Fort Myers, city of Palms Park. In 1998, Jackal performed at the Santana birthday show that we did. And now he's coming back to Southwest Florida.
Amazing.
Yep, I see him outside already. We're going to take a break.
We'll
be back.
Got the chainsaw with him?
No, he's got a skull cap on, and he's talking to Don Holloman.
Well, he's a businessman.
Yep. Stan and Haney, 96K Rock.
From the Absolute Law Studios on Stan and Haney Boulevard.
This is 96K Rock. 96.1.
A Beasley Media Group station.
WRXK. Bonita Springs, Fort Myers, Naples, Cape Coral. Dave and Chuck the Freak Mornings. And everything that rocks. 96 K-Rock.
Can boogie down. I ain't whistling Dixie. Our show is like a big party. A party in your ears. And we're all coming. Stan and Haney on 96K Rock.
Hey, everybody. Stan and Haney, thank you for joining us this afternoon. All that Jesse James Dupree Jackal, the Lumberjack song, brings back a lot of memories.
Oh, hell yeah.
And he's in the studio with us again. It's Jesse
the
James
man,
Dupree.
The legend.
Jesse.
Well, fellas, I feel so bad and guilty that it's been so long since we've seen each other. And and you guys are probably one of the most told stories that I tell to people all the time.
I mean, you're so
much part of my history. And I feel so bad it's been so long since
Get these because I don't have the subscription to it. So I had to get the bad copy of
okay.
it. But I will show you the copy of the local newspaper where it was the headline on the morning of November 8th, 1993. Because what you did, the headline up top, Smith,
Band's,
that's our mayor.
Band's metal band.
Wilbur Smith.
Jackal.
Outlawed rock in Fort Myers.
Jackal was one of our bands that was at our, to this date, our seventh birthday show. And it was Jackal and it was George Thorogood and the Destroyers. So Jackal and Jesse comes up on stage. You came up on stage with the chainsaw. This was the first time that they were doing a concert in the outside field area of City of Palms Park.
Beautiful park.
Beautiful.
Yeah.
It's
residential area.
And it's a residential area. There are homes, I mean, some of the oldest homes in Fort Myers were built there, you know,
what
like in the
1800s. What could possibly go wrong?
And he comes up there, and he's got the chainsaw. They got the mosh pit going. Everybody's slamming into each other. He's cutting up stools.
Yep.
And
God, that was awesome.
And the day after, I guess there were hundreds of complaints residences.
There's two other things that happened. One, they didn't have enough porta-johns. They had like
story about that.
So they had like three porta-johns and 10,000 people.
Yeah.
And so I made the comment. I said, I don't know why you guys lined up at those little blue buildings. There's trees all over this park.
Yes. So
people scattered everywhere and was peeing on the trees. And the other thing that happened was because we had just came out and we were excited to be playing with George Thorogood because, I mean, I grew up a rock and roll fan, and he was part of rock and roll history. And so we're like, okay, this is great. But his guy was choking us on the sound. They were keeping the sound. And finally, my sound guy threw his hands up, and I just stopped the band from playing. I think we're in the middle of I Stand Alone. And I just stopped the band from playing. I said, stop! And the band just stopped playing. And I told the guy, I said, either let loose on the sound and leave my guy alone. I'm going to come back and whoop your ass in front of everybody here.
Yeah.
I mean, right now, because I'm done with this. Quit messing with us. And so they let it loose. And at that point, that's when we were rattling the cans off of people's houses. The canned food was rattling out of the cupboards three miles away.
Yeah. Jesse, you bring up about the not enough portalettes.
Right.
Now, and you're right. There are about 10, 12,000 people in a residential area outside the ballpark. We had at the time, thank God it's not around anymore, one of these portable broadcast things that looked like a big Walkman jukebox.
Is that the day that died?
And that's the day that died because there were not enough portalettes, and people that were behind the stage, the crew, the staff, were going into the giant rock box thing and taking leaks.
It was
saturated in urine. And it was bad.
Probably the story of that day is whoever was in charge of porta-johns really messed the bed that day.
And let's not forget what it was. You guys had produced this concert to raise money for the Florida Food Bank.
Yeah, it was the Harry Chapin Food Bank.
It was, if I'm not mistaken, forgive me, because I've told this story for 25 years now.
Yeah.
And I mean, you guys are so much a part of our early history. Okay, and so May I share with you the rest
Please.
Of the story? So from my perspective, what had happened was I've always been self-managed, right? Which is kind of unheard of, especially in those days when the record industries were fat and happy. You guys remember that? Because, you know, they used to bring you cocaine and snow tires. And you're in Florida, you don't need the snow tires. Right?
We just missed that.
We brought a year of our career that was still going on.
Okay. Not that you guys would be doing that, but
no.
The record industry was fat and happy, and it was unheard of for an artist to represent themselves, manage themselves. And so I'd been running really hard and working on both ends, the artist side and being the manager and the record company, and everybody was freaking out thinking that I needed to slow down. I was going to self-destruct. I had too much going on. I was going to stress out, have a breakdown, whatever. And I'm just going, I'm enjoying life.
You were a nut, man. Because, you were wild.
But, yeah, because all rights, I should have been pouring concrete for a living. So the fact that I got a chance to do what I love to do, I'm a very blessed guy. Much like you guys.
Right.
I mean, you're very blessed to be able to have the platform that you have to do something you love. Anybody that gets to do that. And I love pouring concrete because when I got home at the end of the day, I knew I'd done something.
Yep.
And there's nothing wrong with that either, I'll tell you. But so I end up, I'm out there in the record company, and my partners, everybody, you got to take a week off. You cannot work. When you finish this show in Fort Myers, you're taking a week off. You're shutting your phone off. You are not taking calls. Nobody's going to bother you. We're not going to bother you. There's going to be no business. I had a wife and a brand new baby at that point. You got to spend time with them, so on and so forth. And so we were playing the show, and they had put their foot down. So we went out there. All hell broke loose with the Port-a-Johns and the volume and all this
and
crazy.
Rock is banned in Fort Myers.
Yeah, but see, I didn't know that. So I leave, and I had to go on down to the Keys, and they had a little bungalow down there with my wife and my new baby son, and I'm not supposed to be. And the phone rang in the hotel room, and I answered it, and it was the people at the record company. You got to call into the radio station right now. You guys were telling me, it don't matter. You got to get up. You can't not respond because the mayor has banned you guys.
Yeah.
And he's banned rock concerts from the, And so then I got back on the air with you guys. And he's not in office anymore, is he?
No.
Okay.
But he's still a big, powerful attorney in town.
Yeah, he's more powerful now than he was then.
I'm sure he had the best of intentions. But I got on the air and I said, look, mayor, I said, it's okay for you to go and ban Jackal. Go ahead and ban Jackal if you're not letting us play in the parks, but then that's fine. But for you to stop this radio station from raising money from the Florida Food Bank, which is a damn good cause, just for one afternoon of rock and roll in that thing, you're going to ban it from the park. That's wrong. I said, if you do that, then I'm going to have to move to Fort Myers. I'm going to run for mayor.
You did say
and,
that.
And I said, I'm going to ban a-holes, and guess who's going to have to leave town? And then he ended up retracting his...
Yes, he did. Yeah. And I like to... And Henny and I still
He's actually
talk about
a great
this.
Guy.
Yeah, sure
a good
he is.
Guy.
And it was fun.
But it was great that day because we actually had both you
we
and
had the
mayor,
summit.
And we had the summit where we went and settled this thing once and for all. And to show you how time heals, it was probably 5 years later, you came back to Fort Myers for our birthday show in 1998, and you and Santana played.
Right, that's right. And, another odd pairing, but
yeah,
it worked.
They and did. It was just a heartbeat before he exploded again.
Oh, yeah, with all the duos and stuff.
Yeah. That was right before Smooth came out, like within a month.
Yeah. And let me tell everybody, so we're talking to Jesse James Dupree here right now, reminiscing about over a quarter of a century ago.
Yeah,
that's
25 years ago, yeah.
But tomorrow night, you guys
have gotten better looking. How does that work?
Well, I don't know about that.
We all have.
Yeah.
But think about that. You were talking about your wife and your little baby in the bungalow.
Right.
How old is that little baby now?
He's 28 years old.
He's a drummer, isn't he?
He's in a band. Thank you very much. Yeah, he's a great musician. He plays guitar and sings, and he looks like his mama, so he dropped a beautiful kid. But he's out playing. He was in a band called Waylon for the longest time, and now he's working. He's got another project happening up in Atlanta. He's a starving musician, except for We Feed Him.
Of course.
And so that's that little baby you were talking about.
Yeah, he's not a baby anymore. He's like Jethro Bodine. He can pick a house up.
Tomorrow night, Southwest Florida Event Center down Bonita Way. He and his band, Jackal, going to be performing again. Go on down there. If you haven't seen the show down there,
Jackal's Bar and Grill,
it is a great place. Both comedy and music come down there, and it's a great atmosphere to play. I think you're going to surprise a lot of people down there.
I hear it's because they serve dinner to everybody
before
you play.
Yeah.
So there's not a band better suited to help you digest. This is what I figured. I figured things are a little sensitive still around here. Between me and the mayor and everything's going on. And I figured that it was just all a little ploy to make sure that people had a full stomach before they started drinking. Because they don't have to want them to drink on an empty stomach. So I figured somebody was just working smart that way. But they've got the Jesse James bourbon. They actually
I want to talk about this.
Yeah, they brought the Jesse James bourbon in. And I'm doing a signing at Total Wine and Spirits tomorrow afternoon, or between starting between five and five thirty.
You ever been in one of those places
up in Estero?
Yeah, right, I'll be here.
The Total Wine and
Estero. They're great. They're awesome.
And they got the Jesse James bourbon, the single barrel, the honey, the spice. Got
everything. Tell me about this, because you went into the spirits. I say you go into the spirits business.
Yeah,
you're doing about 15 different things. You had the TV show.
Very blessed, you got the place
in Sturgis. You've got the spirits.
Well, it's odd because he's so laid back. You got to wonder where does the energy come
Let's
from.
Let's start with the original Jesse James Outlaw Bourbon.
Right.
How did this start? And I've heard nothing but good things about it.
Well, thank you very much. Very proud of the Jesse James, that you're holding the original Jesse James whiskey right there, which was what we came out with right at almost 6 years ago. I was working, I'd been consulting with Zippo Lighters, the Zippo Lighter Company, for about 5 years. And then I started working with Sidney Franks' company because they heard what I was doing with Zippo. And this is all alongside Jackal Studio and Chosen. But for some reason, they reached out to me to help put these marketing initiatives together. And I was I was helping Zippo Lighters. I was helping Sidney Franks' company, who brought Grey Goose and Jägermeister to America. And I was helping them with marketing initiatives and distributor incentivization programs and such. And I just have a knack for that. I don't ask, because I didn't go to college. I got long hair. I reinvent the English language every time I open my mouth. If I relax and let the Kennesaw Georgia come out, it's like, you don't got to do that. I can get real country real quick. But so I have to watch myself when I'm in these board meetings. But I started realizing I'm building these brands for everybody else. And because I was also working, I was general managing Kiefer Sutherland's record label, Ironworks.
That's
and doing
right.
And I was doing just a lot of different stuff. And I'm thinking, why am I not building my own brand? So I started out with Jesse James beer. And I was doing a whole wheat non-filtered beer, because I was going to introduce that to blue collar America, because not a lot of people know about whole wheat non-filtered beers. And I thought that'd be something cool to share with blue collar America, to have them think, this is something that I didn't know about, and it's cool. And so I was doing, you'll like this story. I was doing the original beer out of St. Joe, Missouri, where the original Jesse James was from.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, because I'm just another a-hole that got named Jesse James. Okay, this is the Jesse. We all know the real Jesse James that wrote, that Rob Banks and all that stuff, and that's the spirit of this, the outlaw and people that just love to rock and ride Harleys and that kind of stuff. So I was doing this beer, but we can only do about 650 cases at a pop, right? And so I featured it on the second season of the TV show, the Full Throttle Saloon TV show, and every distributor in the country called me and was wanting it, but I could only do 650 cases. So I started looking at how I was going to meet demand, and it was going to be a really expensive endeavor. But that craft beer train, you guys know that craft beer train has left the station.
Yep.
I mean, so many of them. And
they all came at once.
It exploded, and I felt like I'd be on the tail end of that. But a distributor friend of mine says, well, what would you like to do? And I said, well, I'd like to get into the spirits business. But that's an aged whiskey, right? I mean, it takes 4 years or so for that to set in a barrel and age.
Yeah. Right?
And you can't speed that up. And so I get a phone call from him, and he goes, I got a supplier that I deal with that are sitting on $5 million worth of bourbon, and they're looking for a brand. And I was like, bingo. So we partnered up with the Jesse James bourbon. We're about heading toward 150,000 cases sold now. It doesn't have the wince on the backside that, say, a Jack Daniels has, and it's not as sweet as, say, a Crown Royal, half the price. We have a honey bourbon, which I got to tell you, it's the best honey bourbon on the market, but I will confess we cheated. Because all the other honey bourbons were out first, so we taste sampled. At the Full Throttle events that we do throughout the country, and we taste sampled, and we were just kicking everybody's ass. So it's a great honey bourbon. We have a spice bourbon, which is not like anything else out there. It's more like a Captain Morgan on steroids. I say it'll make Captain Morgan fall to his knees and beg for forgiveness. It's really, really a great spice. It makes a great old-fashioned. And then I have a single-barrel Tennessee whiskey that we make in Trimble, Tennessee. And it was a little town of about 650 people that were about to go bankrupt, the town was. And we went in and built the distillery.
Put
a little restaurant in named Miss Vicky's after my partner Mike Ballard's sister. We lost to breast cancer. And now the little town, because we're employing people there. The little town bought a new police car and building a new
there
fire
you go.
Station.
So that's going to make sense.
That's America,
too.
Man.
That is America.
And the coolest thing is the barrel house. It's in Old Cotton Gin is where the whiskey's distilled and such. And the barrel's house is sitting there. And five times a day, the locomotives come through and shake the barrels. So it's locomotive agitated.
Put that on there, too.
Yeah, and people ask me what it tastes like. I said, it tastes just like damn Johnny Cash. So, no, but we have a lot of fun.
We're with Jesse James Dupree, Jackal Friday night. He's going to be at the Estero Total Wine with his whiskeys, and he's going to sign bottles for you if you want.
You can come taste sample it, yes.
Can you stay around for one more break? Because there's so much going on with you right now. I want to talk about what's going on in Sturgis.
Okay.
You also been...
And you're coming to Sturgis, so we'll announce that. And, we'll make that announcement.
And you were saying off the air, and you're talking to a man by the name of Danny Glover, looking to maybe work on a little something.
Yeah.
And we'll talk a little bit more when we come back.
I'm here.
Jesse James Dupree, Jackal.
That is a natural-born entertainer
right there. Darn right he is.
Thank you. Thanks for having me, guys. Thanks.
Stan and Haney, 96 K-Rock.
All women are crazy, and so are we. No wonder things have gone so smoothly for us in the romance department. Stan and Haney on 96 K-Rock.
Stan and Haney, thank you for joining us. About 30 minutes away from your first look at traffic. News headlines with Mark Haney, the 4 o'clock fluffer, your emails. Our question of the week in about an hour. But we are, you know what? And it is. We got our old salesman, Robert Hallman, general manager, Brad Beasley. We were all around when Jackal was here in 93, and we're all reminiscing.
That was almost like definitive for K-Rock.
Yep. Jesse James Dupree joins us from Jackal, who are going to be performing tomorrow night at the Southwest Florida Event Center in Bonita. Get your tickets, and it's a great place to see a show. It should be unique with you guys there.
Yeah, it'd be great. It's going to be a lot of fun. And then tomorrow afternoon, I'm doing a bottle signing for the Jesse James.
Do you know what time you're going to be
Total
doing
Wine
that?
And Spirits between 5 and 5:30. We'll be starting at Total Wine in Estero. And so it's in that really nice shopping center there in Estero. So it's a brand new Total Wine. Total Wine, man, those guys lay it out.
There in Coconut Point, isn't it?
Yeah, yeah. That's like their second one they've opened in the Fort Myers area, and then they got another one down Naples too. But this is the new one right here in Estero.
If they don't carry it at Total Wine, it don't exist.
They can get you anything.
If they don't carry it at Total Wine, it don't exist because they got everything. We're so proud to have the partnership with Total Wine and Jesse James Bourbon, and they've been very supportive from the very beginning. And I've done various signings with them up in the Daytona around the Daytona Bike Week and such. And so I'm excited to be up in Estero tomorrow between 5 and 5:30.
You have to admit though, I mean, you guys back in the early 90s came on with such like gangbusters, and you just shook up the music industry. So people our age and younger, you're so important to us, man. It was like that was a good time.
But I'm still offended because we don't know who at the station cut the chickens off the end of the lumberjack.
Oh, yeah.
when you ended the song, he cuts the chickens off.
There's chickens. Yeah, Haney can bring up the song. I want to hear the chickens at the end.
Do you know the story about the chickens?
No, tell me.
It's a good story about the chickens. You guys will appreciate the story about the chickens. No, you go to the very end of the song. Can you go to the end of it? Get to the very end.
This computer doesn't work very well, don't worry.
There's chickens at the very...
So the song is... So we had to do the song live every night. And because what was captured for the record was what ended up being live. You got it?
It won't go.
It won't go. For,
all right, when it gets to that point, we'll bring it up.
So we're in the studio. And you can just let it be. And I'll tell you this quick story. So we're in the studio. And the captain and Tennille own the studio.
Uh-huh.
Jackal recorded our first album in the studio with Captain and Tennille.
Well, it's a natural fit.
Well, but let me tell you, Appetite for Destruction was recorded there. Guns N' Roses. Yeah, Motley Crue recorded there. When we recorded there, across the hall from us was the Traveling Wilburys.
Get the hell out!
No way.
I'll tell you, I lost my mind. I saw my first Beatle. I mean, George Harrison walked in.
Oh, I am such a fan.
See, let me tell you something. And at the end of the night, when they would leave, because you had Roy Orbison and Petty.
Jeff Lynne.
And these guys would leave at the end of the night, and I would go across the hall into their studio, and I'd pick their guitars up.
Uh-oh.
You know, Roy Orbison's Rickenbacker. It would still be warm from where they were playing it. And that just for me as a rock and roll fan, it was just so
well,
cool.
Well, yeah, you got the all-star team next door.
Yeah, and I got to tell you this.
Did you ever have a run and talk to them?
So when they were there up front was their reserved parking, right?
Yeah.
And they were driving rental cars, but they were like Lamborghinis and stuff like that.
Yeah.
We were in a Dodge Kia or something, a Dodge whatever in the back, you know, just it was where we parked. But we went in the studio, and Ted Nugent was down the hall from us.
Wow.
With the damn Yankees. So there's all three groups in there at Studio A, B, and C, and we were in the main room in A. The Wilburys were in B, and then Ted and them were mixing in C and doing some guitar overdubs and stuff. And so Ted was in the back of the studio with his, he had a whole bunch of bales of hay, and he was shooting bows and arrows, practicing his hunting and stuff, right? And so I went, because it's kind of sterile, us in the studio, and Captain and Tennille own the studio, okay? And I'm not even kidding you. Tony Tennille, sweet as she can be, the captain's a freak. Captain would, he'd see you come down the hall and he'd step in a closet to keep from talking to you. But Tony come and give you hugs, she's just like you'd think she is. So we, and at nighttime when they'd all leave, we'd go upstairs in the attic and they had all the props from the TV show, the Captain and Tennille
TV show.
Yeah,
they had a variety show.
So he had like the big captain's hat that was really huge and stuff.
Yeah.
And we'd be running around with that thing.
That's
I wish we had
amazing.
Cell phones back in because we were not able to get photos. Somewhere there's photographs, but it wasn't like it was social media today. But so I go up about an hour north.
Is it coming?
Is this it? Okay, listen, you're about to hear the chickens, which is perfect time because I'm about to tell you what I did with the hail bait, the bells of hay. Now, the producer's following me around with a chainsaw with a microphone so he can capture everything. The end of the song comes up, and I throw the chainsaw down. And I go running into the drum booth. Where we bought 40 chickens and roosters and let them run loose in the studio. And they would roost at night. And you hear this.
Meow, meow, meow.
So there's 40.
You know what? I'll be honest with you. I played that song 1,000 times, and I don't remember that.
So there's 40 chickens and roosters cut loose in the studio, and this hay strode everywhere. And at nighttime, they'd all go in with the old drum, because we didn't use the drum booth from the 70s. Though. They had a little isolated drum booth. And so the chickens would find their way in there at night and roost. So I'm in there doing a lumberjack song. Of course, they're in there scared the hell out of me anyway, because I'm in there playing his chainsaw. So I throw the chainsaw down, I run in there, the producer follows me with a microphone, and we get the chickens, and he just leaves it on the track. So so the record goes out and it does the thing. But every night we would have to record this song live. And so I was grabbing a different piece of furniture every day out of the captain's lounge and stuff and cutting stuff up to get that sound. And the record company called and said, "Hey, what are you doing, Wild Man?" I said, "I'm just making this record." He goes, "They tell me you're cutting up the captain's furniture." And I said, "Yeah." I said, and he goes, "I don't care if you cut up that console. You better be making a great record." I said, "So we are. Everything's great." So I come in one day, and Tony Tennille, nobody would look at me. Everybody that worked there would just turn their head and walk away. And we walk in, just the strangest vibe, right?
I mean, and you got no idea.
No idea what's going on. And Tony Tennille comes over and goes, "May I have a word with you, please?" I said, "Sure." And this is Tony Tennille.
Yeah.
Love will keep us. Keep us together. Sure, Tony. So we go back, go in this office. She shuts the door. There's another door. We go back in that, the next layer of a room. She goes in that room, shuts the door. We get a couple of doors shut back behind us. We get in there. She turns and goes, "Pew, pew, pew, pew." I said, "What?" She went, "Pew, pew, 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 pew." And I said, "What?" And she goes, "One of the chickens is dead." And I said, "One of the chickens is dead?" And she went, "Hush!" She did not want me saying it out loud. And I said, "Okay." And she goes, "You got to get those chickens out of here. We don't want no trouble." They're in L.A. and they're thinking they're going to be animal rights protests and stuff.
Absolutely.
And I said, "It's just a chicken." I said, "Chickens die. I mean, where I came from.
Frequently.
Where I come from, the farmer steps on three of them to feed the rest of them." And I said, "Seriously, we didn't harm that chicken. It just died." And she's going, "You got to get them out of here. Please, God, just get them out of here." So we put up with them. We didn't say nothing, but now they got to go.
So bizarre, man. Yeah. So, Tony Tennille.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top 5 Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
It's Tony Tennille telling me to go. I got a book full of strange things I never thought I'd be saying or doing or whatever with somebody. So we go to the pet store and we get the little pet carrying box, the little cardboard so you carry a cat on an airplane or whatever, right? So we get 40 of those things and we box each one of the chickens and roosters up, and we wrote the names of all the executives at Geffen Records, which were about 20 minutes down the road, and we had them couriered to the record company to each one of the executives. So a guy, the vice president of the company, a guy named David Berman, comes back from lunch and this box is sitting on his desk kind of moving around. Mm-hmm. And he opens it up, chicken jumps out, scares the devil out of him, and then takes a dump on his new carpet. they were livid, man. I mean, absolutely livid.
That's such a great story. And like you were just alluding, you've probably got tons of these things.
Endless stories of just some stuff that you never thought.
And your life experience about all of that stuff. That's incredible stuff. You mentioned about being in the studio and across the hall at Traveling Wilburys, and you just wanted to go in there, pick up Roy Orbison's guitar. Yeah. And he knows this firsthand. The Leonard Skinner Band was in town, mm-hmm. and I just wanted to touch Billy Powell's piano. I nearly got my arm broken off.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, don't you damn up! I just want to hit that with a little note there, that little white key right there.
There you go.
No. You don't do that to Billy Powell's piano.
Yeah.
Almost got my arm taken off. There's so many other things. Let's talk about, first of all, what's going on in Sturgis with your business out there.
And you guys possibly coming in and joining us.
You brought this up to us because you go and host radio people out there.
I have radio stations for 18 years. I have radio stations from all over the country that come and broadcast from the Full Throttle Saloon. And we got it set up for you. And for every one person that gets to go to Sturgis, there's 1,000 back here that will go vicariously through Stan and Haney coming up there and throwing it. And I think you've got a social responsibility now that you know about it. You got to be there because you got to send a little bit of Sturgis back. I think everybody out there listening needs to start hitting social media and demand that these two freaks get up there and see if we can't send them both back to the Betty Ford Clinic.
You've got an amazing place up there.
You know what? I like it. It's a social responsibility.
It's great. We have the Full Throttle Saloon. You know, the original Full Throttle Saloon set on 30 acres. And it was just a legendary place. And we did the TV show from out there for about 6 seasons, all the way up until the bar burnt down. It was $10 million.
$10
million worth of ashes and a lot of hurt feelings because we didn't have any insurance.
Oh.
And because there was no running water out there. You're in the Black Hills of South Dakota. I mean, so there's no running water, no fire department. Matter of fact, the volunteer fire department, bless their hearts, great guys. They didn't know any better. They came in and they cut a hole in the front of the building when it was on fire, and it backdrafted because the wind was blowing in that direction.
Goodness.
And so the front part of the building burnt, and then it got around. We had a distillery on the back side of that front building, and we had two totes of 180 proof liquor sitting there. And when the fire hit that, it exploded like an atomic bomb went off. So, but we licked our wounds. Nobody got hurt. Nobody got killed. Very fortunate about that. And so we moved down the road. We bought 600 acres. So we now have an Olympic-sized swimming pool.
You should see these pictures.
We have an Olympic-sized swimming pool. We have an all-you-can-eat breakfast buffet and dinner buffet. We have a convenience store. We have a helicopter pad. You can do tourist rides. We're right at the base of beautiful Bear Butte, which is a sacred Native American mountain. We have a firing range. You can shoot 50-caliber guns, machine guns, Uzis, and we bring in cars and trucks for you to blow up. So you can
convenient.
Yeah, we have that. And then we have 300 cabins. We have RV hookups. We have tent camping for days. We're the official campground of Harley Davidson, so you get preferred pricing if you're a HOG member. We're the official campground of Wounded Warrior Project, we had 50 heroes from the Wounded Warrior Project came and stayed with
us last
year. And these are guys that have found a therapy in riding motorcycles, guys that were contemplating suicide. Like, seriously,
22
serious
a day.
Issues. Yeah. And they found a brotherhood and a reason to be excited about riding and coming to Sturgis. And we hosted them. We got almost 100 of them coming back with us this year. And so we're very proud and honored to have them on the property. And then, it's just you guys, and we have stations from all over the country that come and broadcast, and we just have a blast.
You just gave us the official invite.
And I forgot, we've got the Full Throttle Saloon sets right in the middle of those 600 acres. It's the largest stage in South Dakota. You walk inside the new Full Throttle Saloon, and Michael Ballard did an amazing job. He didn't just rebuild the old Full Throttle. When you walk into the new Full Throttle, it looks like the Industrial Revolution threw up in this place. He took all these old machines, hydraulics and such from the turn of the century, and he's made bars out of them. And I mean, you got to see it. There's nobody that walks in there that their jaw don't hit the ground, and they stand there with a beer in their hand, looking at these machines for an hour, trying to, what the hell did that thing do? You know, 20 drill bits that came down in the
sounds an awful lot like freedom.
It's
the last fantasy island for adults that's left out there. It's beyond Thunderdome for people who love badass motorcycles, beautiful women, and a cold belly washer, which happens to be Jesse James Bourbon. and we got fire-breathing midgets. You can't get no better than that. I'll just tell you right now, it's game on. We have 300 voluptuous go-go dancing bartenders.
That's awesome.
It's the kind of thing heterosexuals like. It's a good day. And we seriously, you guys have got to come out.
You know, it's about time. time that heterosexuals had a place to go.
Yeah, where we can feel comfortable again.
Yeah. But you know, be amongst our own kind.
There you go.
So that's awesome.
We better change this conversation. A little bit. And I don't want no part of that because I've stirred up enough trouble for you guys in the past.
Yeah, yeah.
So this will be another story. But but we're right in the middle of the Black Hills of South Dakota. So you got Mount Rushmore. Crazy Horse. You can put Crazy Horse. You can put Mount Rushmore in Crazy Horse's ear. Crazy Horse is just an amazing. It won't be finished in our lifetime, but you can see it taking shape now.
It's been being built for years and years and decades.
It's so beautiful though out there. And the family, the fiber first of all, and the man, this Kowalski guy, he's like a Polish descent. He's an immigrant. He comes to America and he's like doing these incredible statues. Won this big prize at the World's Fair that year. And then some of the Native Americans that fought at the Battle of Little Bighorn. They go to Wisconsin and they track this guy down and they bring him out to South Dakota and they give him a mountain and they said, make a tribute to our Martin Luther the King, Crazy Horse. And so he takes it on. It took him like 2 years to build steps up this mountain. He was going up with a hammer and chisels and dynamite and blowing this mountain up to make this big statue. And then they finally got in this big air compressor and they got a little video in the museum there for it. And when he went out there, he had a little pencil mustache, debonair. Much look like Hannah, kind of just
a little bit
debonair looking guy. He had a little pencil mustache and slick back hair. When he died, he was a burly mountain man. He had met a woman, fathered 10 kids in a cabin as big as this studio right here, and it's about to fall down now. And 8 of the 10 kids are still working on it. But they got this nice little video of him talking about, he goes, I would fire that compressor up and I would go up the steps and about halfway up it would go kaput, kaput. Kaput, back down the mountain I would go, but they got all that archive, and then you got the Badlands, which looked like you're on Mars. They got we've got an hour to the west of us. You got Devil's Tower, where Richard Dreyfuss built the mashed potato in Close Encounters of the Third Kind, mm-hmm. and that mountain's out there. You've got Deadwood. We have a distillery up in Deadwood called the Deadwood Distilling Company and the Bloody Nose Saloon, which is two doors down from where Saloon Number 10, where Wild Bill got shot.
Yes,
and I mean it's just so much history. So I mean I'll shut up because I can keep going. I get so hokey about it. Every goober in New York and L.A. that sits in a cubicle working up there making all these decisions for the rest of whatever, and Washington, D.C. included, especially, they all need to be made to go out there and stand on that prairie and check it out. Because if you don't swell up and get proud of how amazing this is and the fiber of the men that settled through this country and what they even looking at it now to think about what it would take if you just had to walk for a day out there, and the winters, there's six right now, the Full Throttle Saloon's closed. There's 6 foot of snow and a buffalo grazing in the courtyard. I mean, it winters are hard. And
I want to make that happen. The two guys that you were talking with, the old salesman and the general manager, they can make that happen.
Okay. Well, I'll see if I can make that happen. I'll be like the shake and bake girl. And I helped.
That's right. I got one other thing I want to talk about, and then I want to promote again where you're going to be because you don't want to miss the show. You keep talking about it when we're off the air. You've been hanging out with Danny Glover.
I had the fortune of
a little idea about doing something.
Yeah, Danny and I shot, we had cameras on us for 7 hours last past Monday. And I had the honor of it's the first time I'd met Danny in person. I'd spoke to him on the phone, but he's 35 year partners with he's 35 year friends with my partner in the film and television side of things because I executive produce reality television. And so in addition to the Full Throttle, we did like 2-a-days on MTV.
You are a mogul.
No, I don't know about that.
I'm
just a guy. Again, I wake up every day with anxiety in a panic. Because I think all of this has been a dream, and I've actually got to go pour concrete. And the minute that I realize, nah, it's good, then I'm like, okay, I get up and take a big bite out of life's ass.
So far, quarter of a century, you're doing okay.
Yeah, doing okay. But it could slip away so fast.
Oh, yeah.
And that's why I stopped that conversation with Hanny.
You don't need any more controversy.
Before he got us in trouble. Yeah.
Well, I'm talking about heterosexual rights, Jesse. I'm an advocate for heterosexuals.
I stirred him back up. Again. Down, boy, down.
You see, down, imagine boy. What he deals
that's
with on
my,
a daily
that's my
basis.
Job. You tell him down.
You need a button in here.
Oh, I got
it right
there.
You just need the button. You push it. He goes, down, boy, down, down. So Danny and I ended up hooking up on Monday. We spent 7 hours together. We had 3 cameras shooting, and we had a conversation. And that's what it was about. And we're looking at hopefully with in success of putting the content together that that we can have that be the first of many shows that we'll shoot. Yeah,
he just did a movie with Robert Redford about a year ago, The Old Man and the Gun, and he was phenomenal in it. Well, Danny Glover co-starred with him in it, and it was great.
He's phenomenal just sitting across from me having lunch. He's far left.
Yeah.
And a lot of people get upset because of his politics, because the people on the far right get it because things are so polarized, but that's why we're having a conversation. He and I, there's not two more disparate people in the world than Danny Glover and Jesse James Dupree, and I'm not being an a-hole speaking about myself in third person. I'm just saying, if you think about it from that perspective, I hate people that speak about themselves in third person.
Yeah, but let's just say it's a fly on the wall.
But I'm saying that's when you say it like that, it kind of puts it in perspective of how disparate we are. He came from Oakland, San Francisco area, lives 5 miles from where he grew up. I grew up in the heart of the South, a little Civil War town. It's called Big Shanty during the Civil War. It's called Kennesaw now. It's a mandatory law. Every household must own a gun, which made his head spin around. So what I do, I go there and pick him up in Atlanta and carry him up to Kennesaw. And we had a conversation. But it was, it's not about, I'm not far right. I'm in the middle. I believe anybody that gets too polarized on the left or the right are foolish, because nobody believes in everything on the left. Right. Nobody believes in everything on the right. And where's that common sense approach to what's in the middle?
Mm-hmm.
And
who defines what's far right these days?
Yeah.
You know, standing for the anthem is far right.
Yeah, well, yeah,
yeah,
exactly.
These days.
So it's just, yeah, and it's just, I feel dumber for hearing both sides. And you watch CNN, and you get through watching it, you feel bad about yourself or about the country. You watch Fox, you feel bad about the country. And so the concept of Danny and I being together is, how can we demonstrate that two disparate people can have a conversation, and at the end of it, we hug each other, and it's not about being polarized by these talking heads that want to say it's about a wall. It ain't about a damn wall, or it ain't about, it's about a common sense solution, you know? And Danny and I exemplified that in our conversation, being as disparate as we are about things.
So when are we going to get to see this?
Well, I don't know. It just got shot, and it's all coming to fruition for us, for the concept, and it all happened. He's in Atlanta shooting another Jumanji movie, so.
That poor guy.
Yeah.
It always seems like he's 3 days
from retirement.
3 days.
3 days.
Let me tell you, he makes me look like I'm sitting still. That guy is, I mean, he's a couple of 3 days in that movie shoot, leaves there, goes down to Mississippi and speaks at a boys club function.
He's very busy.
The charitable thing. He goes, I mean, he is just on the go, and you got to admire his passion and what he does. Again, mutual respect, and again, I was very much honored to be able to hang him. And the guy, you know, in Lethal Weapon, which is one of my.
That's where he had 3 days. Yeah.
Three days to retire.
And that Mel Gibson pulled him back in.
Yeah,
I want to thank you for being here. This is so good seeing you again.
I appreciate you guys allowing me to come on here. And
there's a good history
everybody.
With us.
Yeah,
and it's all turned positive. Everything's good.
Yeah, that's
everything's good.
We're all survivors.
Yeah, we're all survivors.
Gainfully employed.
Yes.
That's right.
Knock on wood. Yeah, yes. We're all still here.
I'm proud of
it. I did want to ask you one last thing.
Okay.
Before Jackal existed and Jesse James was growing up, what records did you listen to?
Well, I grew up in the late 60s and early 70s, and when I came home from school one day in 1971, my dad didn't have a 10th grade education, and he had went to work with he had a fake high school diploma and a guy at Lockheed Aircraft, where they built all the military airplanes. The guy felt sorry for him because I was sitting on my mom's lap and she was pregnant with my brother, and the guy gave him a job, which was a union pay, and we had a small little lower class income home in a neighborhood, and I knew a kind of a Leave It to Beaver world up until 1971, and I came home and my dad had gotten laid off from Lockheed, and there's no way he could support what even the bills that he had for that without that union job. So he sold everything we had, including my bicycle. And we moved to a mobile home trailer in Gadsden, Alabama, sitting on an asphalt parking lot in the backside of a cafe that he couldn't even boil water, and he bought a cafe. But before he opened up the cafe, he went to work for Kentucky Fried Chicken because he was going to steal the colonel's recipe. So he ends up.
So it does run in the family.
So he ends up cutting his hand because back then they used to quarter their own chickens at Kentucky Fried, right? Because that's when franchises were just getting started. So he ends up quitting there, and we specialized in farm raised grain fed catfish. And so, I'm living in this mobile home trailer in the back of this asphalt parking lot. My parents are working like crazy, you know, inside the cafe trying to make ends meet. And there was a cinder block wall back behind, when you open the back door of that trailer, you can reach out and touch a 15-foot-high cinder block wall. And on the back side of that cinder block wall was a Triple X drive-in movie theater called the Rebel Drive-In. And they showed all the Triple X movies and stuff.
Yeah.
So it was either that, I'd either watch the Triple X movies, or I'd go into the restaurant and the guy would come to change the 45s out on the jukebox. And he would give me the old 45s, and I'd wash out these 5-gallon pickle, this pickle barrel that I had, and I'd wash the pickle barrels out and keep my 45s in there, and I'd run to the back room of because I didn't have a lot of friends. All my friends were back in Georgia at that point. So I'd go in the back of that trailer, and I'd put it on my turntable, and that's where I got exposed to James Brown and Wilson Pickett and Deep Purple and the Stones, just all these great bands. But my favorite artist was Joe Tex.
Oh, you remember Joe Tex? Sure
did. I got you! Thought you got away now, didn't you? Well, now give it here. Come on. You promised me the day that you quit your boyfriend, I'd be the next one to ease on in. You know, so that's where I learned how to power up. Yeah.
Give me one quick.
Anyway, thank you. Thank God for radio compression, right? Guys, you've been very, very kind. Thank you.
Friday, tomorrow's a big day. Yeah. He's going to be at Total Wine in Estero signing his spirit bottles, the whiskey, the bourbons. Go on down and meet him, and then
sample it. You can taste them up there at Total Wines as well. Yeah, we'll sample it.
Maybe I'll be sampling. Yeah. And then
maybe we should see what Dave thinks of it.
And then tomorrow night, Southwest Florida Event Center, Jackal's going to be playing.
Jackal's Bar and Grill. That's right.
Jesse James Dupree. It's been great, and thank you so much.
Thank you, fellas. Thank you so much.
We're going to take a break. Stan and Haney.
Just like my grandpa used to say, Stan and Haney on 96 K-Rock.
Hey, everybody. Stan and Haney. Thank you very much for joining us Thursday afternoon. And it was just great. Hanging out with our buddy Jesse James Dupree from Jackal. You know what? He's a great guy. And Haney and I were both saying, we're all still here. We're all still here doing it.
It's amazing when you think about the gulf of time between now and then. And Stan and I are still the same guys. Yep. And Jesse James is still Jesse James.
Yep. Go see him. Tomorrow at the Estero, it's at Coconut Point, the Total Wine. He's going to be meeting and greeting you, and he'll have his bourbons and his whiskeys. And then tomorrow night, he's going to be at the Southwest Florida Event Center putting on a show with his band Jackal.
And I mean, it is legend between Jackal and K-Rock.
Yeah, yeah. Stories on both ends still being told over 25 years later.
Yep. Hey, Junior, you keeping track of your girlfriend?
Miss Cortez?
Is that what you call her?
Ms. Cortez.
Because she has two last names. Sometimes people call her Ocasio.
Yeah.
Sometimes they call her Cortez, but we call her AOC.
I just call her baby.
Yeah. What she's done now?
Causing more trouble?
Well, now she has de Blasio and Cuomo pissed off at her.
Oh, really? Good.
Because she ran Amazon out of New York.
Yeah, Amazon announced they're not building their new
You remember they were talking about, it was almost a competition of which city is going to get our second headquarters.
Yeah.
And they had decided on a location in Queens that would have provided 25,000 jobs immediately.
Amazon said no.
And because AOC opened her mouth, Amazon said, well, you know, there are other places that actually want us.
Yep.
This isn't worth our trouble. Thank you. No.
She's a strong woman.
Jeez, let's get you updated on
She's
traffic.
Just making friends everywhere she goes.
Yeah.
And I think her best friend is that hijab-wearing one.
Yeah, geez, this one. Lack of respect. Yeah. By the way, someone wants to know when Jesse's going to be at Total Wine in Estero. Tomorrow, like between 2, 3, 4, 5 o'clock, somewhere around in that area.
2, 3, 4, 5
He's got to be out by 5 because he's got a show he's got to do. So 3 to 5 in that area, he'll be down there. So you go see him. And thanks again for him coming by.
Yeah,
and saying hi.
And thanks for the whiskey.
Yeah. Yep.
Can use that.
Keep it away from Dave. It's for the best.
Let's get you.
No,
up to
I figured you'd offer him some.
I ain't having him open to mine. He can use the old stuff we got sitting in here. That rot gut. I'm keeping the Jesse James stuff for me.
Now, K-Rock traffic.
Let's start in North Fort Myers. Got a hit and run. Pine Island Road, right at the Walmart. Fort Myers. Crash. Metro Parkway and Idlewild Street. And then in Bonita. Crash. Bonita Beach Road Southeast and Dovewood Court. I like that name, Dovewood Court. And you are up to date.
I used to live on Dovewood Court.
Did you?
Yeah.
Is that where that is?
Yeah, down in Bonita.
Yeah.
Yep.
Nice area. A lot of the hockey players used to live there.
Oh, they all did.
Yep.
We all lived together. Go out to the pool and it'd be nobody but
hockey
me
players.
And the hockey team. Yep.
Coming up in less than 1 hour, the newscast of record. With Southwest Florida's most respected anchorman, Mark Haney, he is the news. What can you expect? Well, he's about to tell you. He's got today's headlines for you. What's vibrating?
That's me moving the bottle of whiskey out of my way.
Didn't know what the hell that was. It's a lot of whiskey.
Coming up in less than an hour on the news, we will, of course, have some things for you did not know. We have this just out, a new ranking of America's best French fries.
Really?
We've got the winners.
Was it fast food fries?
Yeah, the winners and the losers. We'll tell you about the idiot who set his mommy's house on fire over Cheez-Its.
Yep. Jeez.
A man with a ladder came out of nowhere to rescue two people from a fire. Man robbed a bank while his girlfriend got her taxes done across the street. And a man with three wives is going to jail for polygamy.
Okay, that happens.
So he has three active wives.
Yes.
He has made the determination when he gets out, he will simply stick with whichever ones forgive him.
Yep.
These stories and much, much more unfortunate nonsense coming your way in less than an hour on the news.
Mark, thank you. Laughter. You gotta have it. Brought to you by Coastal Cooling and Daikin. Mark.
Stan.
Junior.
Haney.
Honey, I'm home.
Hi.
Ladies.
Now, I don't want to overtax you, Junior, but would it be possible to hear Jesse and Dave with the spaz noise back to back?
Yeah, that would be classic. Two different minds.
Oh, I love it.
That's great.
You know what today is?
Today's Valentine's Day.
It's Valentine's.
Oh, it's Valentine's.
With that in mind, we bring you today's list of the
top
rejected Valentine's Day cards.
Top rejected Valentine's Day cards.
Hey, guys, it's Valentine's Day. Just thought you'd like to know.
Idiots.
Yeah.
They don't even know. Yeah, and a lot of people forget it's St. Valentine.
Top rejected Valentine's Day cards.
Okay.
I'm so glad I found someone to settle with.
Yeah. I'll settle.
I'm so glad you're with me till death do us part, because now I don't have to hold in my farts. I can't believe we've survived another year when you drink Coors Light and I drink beer.
Speaking of, look, there's a text right here because Coastal Cooling bringing us the 4 o'clock fluffer. Doesn't Dave work at Coastal Cooling?
He's retired.
Fired. No, he does not. And there's the reason.
Top rejected Valentine's cards.
He's retired.
My love for you knows no bounds. Much like your appetite. I think you're cool, and I think you're woke. But we can't go out for a nice dinner because I'm flat broke.
Text machine, get up off of that thing.
Yeah!
I feel good.
Yeah!
Yeah!
My test results are back. You might want to take a seat. Your genitals are about to burn with real intense heat.
I'm
Shut
scared
up.
Of this stuff.
You had me at hello, but lost me at stop following me, you perv.
Always at the appropriate time.
I brought you beautiful flowers in a vase in the hopes that you'll forget all about me being in blackface.
Oh. Oh my God.
I'm certain this Valentine's Day will bring you joy, because I got you a vibrating sex toy. My darling. The florist was out of roses. The store was out of candy. I hope this won't keep you from giving me a handy. And finally, the very top rejected Valentine's card.
Yes.
You're lousy in bed and really a bore. So what I want today is the company of a whore.
Yeah.
And that, my friends, is the 4 o'clock.
Elvis has left the building.
That's it, baby.
Email time. Ahoy at stanandhaney.com.
What?
I will... I'll let you read emails that I have not done. The same broken record with the same people. One actually went to Zito and then to Brad.
Oh, good.
Brad got it in text form, and he wanted to show me, but it was in his trash. But I'll save them for you. This is from Robert, who writes... Really, Haney?
Oh, geez.
Jessica Tarlov?
Oh, yeah.
Looks like someone junior would swipe right on. Come
Never.
On.
Now, I think I did point out that her beauty is unconventional.
Yes, very.
But see, that's my kink.
Yeah, that's your thing. You're attracted to that.
Yep.
Yeah.
No, I'm not saying I want to marry her.
Right.
But I would like to spend a night with her.
Yep.
Now, see, Junior wants to marry AOC.
Yeah, that's...
love of my life.
You got a lot of growing up to
I do. Just want to get that Tarlov. I just want one night at a nice Holiday Inn. I don't want her knowing where I live.
This person, you know, if we can still get one after doing this for 28 years, I'm happy. This person emailed us in regards to our guest we had on yesterday, who was one of the backers of the Green New Deal.
Oh, yeah, the consultant.
Yes, and they wrote, guys, if this is not a goof, this guy's an idiot.
Hmm.
Yeah, he was an idiot. As you folks heard it, it was a real person on the other end of the phone. No computer-generated thing. A goof? That was a real person.
It was very similar to something that I did see in an interview with someone who was a professor who helped to write the thing and didn't seem to know what was in it.
I apologize to Mike and Nick because they usually keep us updated every year, and I guess he tried numerous times to get in and call. Sorry, after the many attempts to get through to the station, I gave up, but I want to let you know about our food drive. They do the Punta Gorda pub crawl, and it comes on every year, talks about it.
Yeah.
Last year was a record, guys. 6,554 pounds of food donated during the 2.5-hour event. Great. You guys do a great job. The event is going to be held again. Let's see, at the parking lot of the Ice House Pub, 408 Tamiami Trail in Punta Gorda, going to be live music, 11 to 1. And if you want more information on the pub crawl, Punta Gorda pub crawl at gmail.com. So there you go. Okay. This is from Adam. Ahoy, guys. Just wanted to mix things up from other listeners and send you a positive email. That's nice.
Well, you're swimming against the current, but go ahead.
Yeah. My wife is the strongest and least crazy woman I know. Oh, she's got you brainwashed. Although, let's find out. Many years ago, she brought up the idea that we should boycott Valentine's Day. And he spelled it correctly, Valentine's Day.
Mm-hmm.
And it actually wasn't a trap on her part. She genuinely believes that we don't need a corporate holiday to tell us when to express our love, respect, and appreciation for each other. My wife is the best. And it sounds like Stan's lady is a close second. I think it's a tie for first there,
it's just,
Adam.
Just another obligation that creates conflict.
Yep. Happy Valentine's Day, guys, except Dave. He can go out with a... what did he say? Except for Dave, he can go make out with a stale beer. Yeah. Well, he probably is right now. Oh, no. He's
working.
He's at his job right now. doing menial labor for Haney.
He's a good
Hi,
boy.
I'm Carol. Dave messaged me on Bumble.
Ladies and gentlemen, the Guardian.
Jesus.
Ahoy, gentlemen. Guys, you're right. Fox News has the most beautiful women. You need to check out Sandra Smith. She has the most beautiful and sexy eyes. Yeah, she's opposite Bill Hemmer in the middays.
Oh, I'm not awake at that time.
I know you're not. I know, crying out loud, they come on, I think, at 10.
That's ungodly.
Haney, that Jessica Tarloff has that bad girl look.
Yes. Doesn't
Maybe
she?
Maybe that's the attraction for you.
Yep.
Stan, I feel I must respond to the person that sent you.
You know she smokes.
Yep. Oh, yeah, she does. She's on TV.
Do you think AOC smokes, Junior?
Not yet.
Yeah, she's not old enough. She smokes. She smokes the ganja. Yeah, she also has the oils to vape.
Right on.
Yeah. Stan, I feel I must respond to the person that sent you the hate mail. So here's what I would like to ask. You say that Stan's mean to Dave. Well, have you ever worked with someone who just continues to do and say the things that just don't make sense? Now, if you have listened to the show for any length of time, I think this is Michael, the Whittler. That's the one who sent the hate mail.
Oh.
If you listen to any length of time, you would know the positive things both Stan and Haney have tried to do to help Dave. Things like financial advice, not to mention money, they have given him. They have been the key to Dave still being at the radio station, even after walking out and getting fired numerous times. Stan was integral in helping Dave get a job at Coastal Cooling, which he retired from. They have gotten help for him by getting a pastor to talk to him. So here's a question for you. Have you ever personally tried to be Dave's friend? Have you ever, Michael, loaned him money or helped him out in any way? Also, you have to realize some of it is the show. Most of Stan's what you consider harsh treatment is well-deserved. And lastly, if Stan's treatment of Dave is so harsh, why has Dave stayed and come back numerous times? Why don't you keep your nose out of Stan and Haney's business? And don't let your mouth overload your ass when it comes to threatening Stan again.
Jesus.
I know your name. I am the Guardian.
Jesus.
You know what? I wonder if Jesse James Dupree is still in the car.
I don't know, maybe.
He might be, so I got to do something for him.
Okay, go ahead.
Oh, I gotcha! Uh-huh! You thought I didn't see you now, didn't you? Uh-huh! You tried to sneak by me now, didn't you? Uh-huh! Now give me
JT.
What you promised me. Yeah, yeah!
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
I'd be the next one to ease on me. You promised me it would be just us two, yeah. And I'd be the only man kissing on you, yeah. Now kiss me. Hold it a long time, hold it. Don't turn it loose, now hold it. A little bit longer, now hold it. Come on, hold it.
Point this out. I gotta point this out. Texter brings up such a valuable point. Stan, you said that when Dave the Waterman got punched, that his head went back and to the left. If the guy swung with his left fist, as Dave claims, that would have to be one magic punch.
Back and to the left.
You know what? It indicates to me that there had to have been a second puncher that swung on Dave from the right over the gravelly road.
Ah. He makes a point.
Yep.
If only there were film, yeah. But we don't know of any.
We'll be back. Stan and Haney, 96. K-Rock.
Beautiful beaches, world-class golf, and all the five-star amenities you've come to expect from the only radio show you can truly trust with all your financial retirement needs. Okay, that's for Collier. Let's do Lee. We can readily recommend a full-service bail bonds agency with over 50 years of experience. On call 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Or we could just go with, thanks for listening, Suncoast Estates. And we didn't forget you, Pine Manor.
Essay, or Holmes, whichever you prefer. Stan and Haney on 96K Rock.
Hey, everybody. Stan and Haney, thank you for joining us. Greatly appreciated. We're going to have traffic for you in just a second, but it's Thursday, so it's our question of the week. I'm going to pose the question to you. It's not a yes or no answer. It's your story. Feel free to call us. Tell us your story to our question of the week. And even before I do that, somebody just texted something. We were talking lie detectors with Dave. Did he lie about getting punched in the face? There's got to be a second puncher. No picture. It didn't happen. Oh, I want you, Haney, because he'll tell you. He wouldn't tell Junior. We want to know the name and the address of the convenience store that he was punched at. Every convenience store has surveillance. We can go back and ask
to
see.
Oh, yeah, he was assaulted.
Yeah, we can go and ask to see the surveillance footage. So I want you, Dave, to tell him, to give the name of the place, and then we're going to get the surveillance footage.
Dave.
To see if, in fact, he was actually punched, because I don't think he was.
No, I think we need to do that, because that's assault.
Gas station or store he went to should have video surveillance. You know, you can get it if he claims he won't give you the address. It's just another made up story.
Like, Dave, I know the address to the gas station.
You were assaulted, right?
Yeah. So tell
Haney we need to inform the authorities. We need to pull the surveillance tape.
Yes, and we want the surveillance.
Yes. I don't go those routes.
No, but we do.
Yeah, we do. And we
You're a member of this show, and we need to protect you.
All right, I'll tell you off air. I'm not saying where I stop at.
No, not say it on air. Just give it to Haney, and we're going to go and file a police report.
All right, we'll do it.
We're going to go see if there was, in fact, an assault.
Now, you filed a police report when you were beaten up by the 12-year-old, right?
Yeah, dude, because I got robbed.
Right,
so why wouldn't you want to file a police report against the guy that punched you?
It was a local drunk, man. I'm not worried about it. He barely got me.
Have you seen him before?
No, I haven't, but it doesn't necessarily mean he's not riding in the alleyways.
The videotape will tell.
Well, if he's on a bike, then he's probably close by.
Yep.
Yeah, there's a lot of homeless people.
Well, we'll be able to see with the videotape. Because we can get a hold of it. You give Haney the address, and then we'll take care of the rest. We want the videotape.
We'll make some calls.
Yeah. Right. And then we'll have you file.
Sure.
Because you claim you were assaulted.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
Did anybody witness it?
No.
I'll tell you who witnessed it. The videotape.
That would be true.
Yeah.
Where did he assault you in relation to the store and the gas pumps?
I had gotten out, walked out of the store, just walked over the sidewalk, stepped down, and that's when I got confronted.
Right. So you were right in front of the store. You weren't by the gas pumps.
Yeah, well, I was walking to the left.
Yeah, they got cameras everywhere.
Back and to the left.
Yeah, back and to the left. Question of the week.
Why do I do this?
Then we'll do traffic. Get out of this room then. Hit the bricks. Question of the week. I'm not talking about when you first got your job where you could legally work at 15 or 16.
15 or 16?
Yeah, I'm talking about not under the table where you actually had to use your social
security. Oh, when you're 12 or 15.
Talking about when you're a kid. When you were a kid, what did you do to earn extra money? You know, you hear the old kids, I collected bottles, scrapped. I had a paper route. When you were a kid, what did you do to earn extra money? 277-9600. We'll take your answers to our question of the week after we take a look at traffic. What did you, when you were a kid, do to earn extra money? What did you do around the neighborhood? What kind of allowance did you get with your parents because you had to do certain things? Maybe you did something for somebody in the neighborhood. 277-9600.
Now, K-Rock traffic.
Let's see. Bokelia. Crash. Pine Island Road, northwest. Fort Myers got a crash. South Cleveland Avenue at the Fresh Market. Crash. Fort Myers. Summerlin Road and Gladiolus. Fort Myers. Crash. Crescent Drive and McGregor Boulevard. And you are up to date. Question of the week. When you were a kid, what did you do
to earn extra money, you know, so you could go to the pharmacy and get a candy bar and a soda, or buy that pack of baseball cards, or, you know, take your little new girlfriend out to the McDonald's. What'd you do? With me, well, I grew up on a farm, so my father would give me an allowance when he felt like it. Some days he did, some days he didn't. And I would, you know, do the farm stuff, the hay baling, the mucking of the stalls, all that. But then I went and did a little entrepreneur. We had chickens, and they laid a lot of eggs, so many eggs we couldn't use them all. And I used to go and put them in a basket and go to the next street over from the farm and go up and down and sell chicken eggs to the neighbors. Farm-raised chicken eggs. They loved them. Sold them until I got into trouble. When I was pulling the wrong eggs from the hen house, and they'd crack open to have Sunday morning breakfast, and a boid would come.
Oh, not a boid.
Haney, when you were a kid, I'm talking about a young kid, not getting into the workforce, but you were a kid, you wanted to get some extra money. Maybe it was an allowance. Maybe it was, you know, something to do around the neighborhood.
Well, I want to be clear extra about money. This. I never got an allowance, but I did all the chores. I mean, I was like an indentured servant.
All right, but then
from a very young age.
How'd you get some little pocket money, some jingling change in your pocket?
The first time I ever did was when I went and I would spend summers with my grandmother and my aunt and uncle in DeLand. And he had a business where on one side of the lot, it was miniature golf and arcade games and batting cages.
Yeah.
And on the other side, he was selling portable buildings. And my job for him was everything from going out and picking up baseballs from the batting cages to being a cashier to troubleshooting pinball machines.
And so he'd slip you a few bucks.
To delivering buildings. I did it all. That was the first time that, and then at the end of the summer, I remember, because I never asked for any money,
right.
and honest to God's truth, I just enjoyed being around my uncle and going to work with him, but at the end of the summer, he would peel off a roll of bills, and he'd go, you earn this.
Ah, Junior.
The first time I ever had my own money.
When you were a kid, you know, you're walking around the neighborhood being a punk. How pocket money. How'd you earn extra money?
We had a neighbor next door to us, a very old man in his 90s, and I wanted to go to the movies that weekend. So I said, you know, I'll pick all these weeds for you out in your lawn for $20. I never do like lawn work, and I was picking all this stuff, and I was getting tired. I was like, I was doing a half-assed job.
And you knew it. You knew you were doing
it. Oh, I knew it. Yeah, well, looking back on it.
You're better than that.
Yeah, looking back on it, I did a really bad job. And he saw that. And he only paid me like $10, and I was livid.
Even though you knew you did a bad job.
Well, looking back on it, at the time, I thought I did a great job. But looking back on it, I was like, yeah, I did really bad.
Jeez. Doesn't get much lower than it. 277-960.
And did you ever do that again, or did you realize that was too hard to work?
I never dealt with a man ever since.
Ahoy, who's this?
Ahoy, gentlemen. This is Vaughn from Naples.
What's your first name?
Vaughn.
Hi, Vaughn. When you were a kid, what did you do to earn extra money?
Right where we used to live, there used to be a very popular golf. I used to go down there and fish golf balls out of the water and
Come
back to the players. I made a pretty good coin that way.
Absolutely. You know, I knew a lot of kids would do that golf course and hunt for golf balls.
Yep.
277-9600.
As long as you're not worried about the Gators and the Cottonmouths,
right.
You can do well.
I mean, can you ask Dave? I know we got lines are jammed, but I want to ask Dave that, too.
Yeah, he's your bro.
Yeah, bro. I know you still do it now. But when you were a kid, you know, back in the movie days.
Yeah, man.
Yeah, bro. What did you do to earn extra money? You know, like get a little allowance?
You know, before you had a real job.
Yeah.
I started a pressure washing business during the drought.
I didn't ask you that.
That didn't work out too well.
How old were you?
No, when you were a kid.
Oh, when I was a kid, man, cutting grass, bro. That was the deal.
Well, we've all done that.
Yeah, cutting grass and maybe, you know, selling some other grass on the side, man.
So it pretty much involves grass.
Yeah, everything had to deal with grass then, man.
Yeah, all right.
Lots of greenery.
Step back.
No problem.
Ahoy, who's this?
This is Ed from Naples.
Ed, when you were a kid, what did you do to earn extra money?
My friends and I used to work for a neighbor who had a dairy farm, and we did the hay.
Isn't that the worst?
Yes, sir. But we did it. We loved it. I don't know why. We just every year we worked for him. They fed us every day.
Good deal.
And he paid us at the end of the summer.
And do you remember how much you got at the end of the summer?
Maybe $150.
Ah, not bad. Nice. Work. I didn't mind.
See, that's the thing for a kid. That's like how mine was. Is you work all summer long, and then they throw you $50, $100, $150, and man, you got it made. You don't realize the amount of man hours you put in
saved,
for that.
They saved them for that. Yeah, oh yeah. Working with hay, because I had so many allergies as a kid. I didn't mind cleaning the stalls. I didn't mind you had to put shavings down on the bottom. Mm-hmm. You had to sweep out the stalls. And it all bothered
me. And what you must understand
was the worst.
What you must understand when Stan's telling you this is the way his father viewed it, allergies were not a medical problem. It was a sign of Stan's weakness.
Yep. I was, he made the farmer, I still remember his name, Mr. Marfiak. He was the one that had the one arm that got torn up in the washing machine and still took care of his cattle. He made him come over and tell me that the hives and the sneezing and the asthma was all in my head.
Yeah, it's just weakness leaving your body.
Yep. Ahoy, who's this?
Ahoy, Stan Haney?
Yeah.
Hey, this is Alex from Cape Coral.
Alex, what did you do as a kid to earn some extra money?
Well, when I lived in Colorado, I actually helped some farmers and stuff collect sticks off their property and essentially like build up their fire pits and stuff.
That was an all year thing to do.
Oh yeah,
all year.
Like, I would go out there like every weekend, and I would easily pick up like probably like 100 pounds of sticks.
Yep. And it would all summer long. It was a vicious cycle that I couldn't wait to leave. Winter time, you had cordwood that you'd put in the wood stoves and the fireplaces. And as soon as it got warm, you started cutting, collecting, curing for the next winter. Man, that's the way to live. 277-9600. Hard work. Ahoy, who's this?
Ahoy, gentlemen. This is Brad from Estero.
Hey, Brad from Estero. What did you do as a kid to earn extra money?
So my father owned a large landscaping and lawn maintenance company, and that was before his trucks had the hydraulic beds that would dump all of the roughage and everything out.
Uh-huh.
So he gave me a tool called a fork hoe, which is similar to a pitchfork but yet turned, and I had to scoop out all of the back of the trucks every single day at the end of the day, and he gave me a measly buck for it.
Yeah. That's pleasant.
Yeah. I remember it was Simsbury, Connecticut. My father bought a plaza where his business was. He had a shopping plaza. He bought the whole damn plaza, and he thought that this would be a good business investment for him. And the plaza, because of winter, with the when they sanded and salted the plaza, it was a big plaza. When springtime came, it would have all the leftover sand. So he told me one day, he said, "Let's get in the pickup truck. We're going over to the plaza." And he said, get a buddy of yours too. And I call my buddy Matt. Hey, we're going over to my dad's plaza. He wants us to go. He had a wheelbarrow, two shovels, and a broom. And he said, "I'll come back and get you at the end of the day. You guys sweep up all of this sand in the plaza and get it all cleaned
the
up.
The whole thing.
And I'll give you a few bucks." And the end of the day came, and I still remember. This is horrible. The end of the day came. He gave me, his son, all day. This was like from 9 o'clock in the morning to when the sun was going down. Gave me $20 and told my buddy Matt he was running a little short. I'll get you. Here's $8 and never gave him the money. True story.
Well, yeah, he's got a deal with you.
$20. That's what I got. No, you know, going to the movies, 150 or...
No, you came out better than Matt.
But, and
now, remember, that 150 was for the whole summer.
Yeah, and I remember Matt, weeks later, Mr. Nalonic, you...
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I'll get you.
Of course, Matt.
I'll get you.
A little short right now.
Yeah, yeah. If you'd like to answer our question of the week... Email us, ahoy, at stanandhaney.com. When you were a kid, what did you do to earn extra cash? Mark Haney in the news is next. Stan and Haney, 96K Rock.
I'm sure Stan and Haney have a really funny joke coming up, right, guys?
Brilliant.
Stan and Haney on 96K Rock.
What the hell? Hey, everybody. Stan and Haney. Thank you for joining us this afternoon. We're going to get you updated on traffic for your drive home. Then we'll have Mark Haney and the news. It's all happening right now.
Now, K-Rock traffic.
All right, let's see what we got here. Disabled vehicle, Fort Myers. Cypress Lake Drive and Summerlin Road. Then we have a crash, Fort Myers. Wilt Chamberlain Parkway and Daniels Parkway. And in Bonita, crash, South Tamiami Trail, the 26,000 block right by Edible Arrangements. It is Valentine's Day. That rush. And you are up to date. One more traffic update coming up for you in about 30 minutes. Mark Haney and the News, brought to you by Jason and Todd at the Diamond District. Starts right now.
This is the Evening News with Dan Rather in Washington, Nelson Benton in Washington, Don Webster south of Quang Tri, South Vietnam, Bill Curtis near Indianapolis, and John Cheyenne in Wessling, West Germany, with a special report on the environment. Can the world be saved?
Hi, I'm Garrick Utley, and you're listening to Southwest Florida's most respected anchorman, Mark Haney.
Good afternoon. This is the news for today, Thursday, February 14th.
Double MXIX.
Telling it like it is, I'm Mark Haney. Happy Valentine's Day, folks. Time now for things you did not know.
I wonder if Dave the Waterman has given out a Valentine's today to somebody that probably doesn't want it.
Someone who looks like they just bit into a lemon while saying, oh, that's so sweet.
Yep.
I think I'm going to send her a Valentine's Day. She saw me get punched at the convenience store.
I want the videotape. And I want them hooked up to a lie detector test. Three things are going to come out of that lie detector test.
Wonder if they can up the amperage on those.
Yep. Either he's a liar, he's a sociopath, or as Haney said earlier, why they don't use him in court.
You know, elephants are big.
Yes, they are. And they never forget.
You know, if you're that big, are you afraid of much?
Don't you know the old wives' tale? They're afraid of a mouse. Remember the elephant? Ooh, it's a mouse. They go out and stampede.
Well, yeah, that was for a cartoon to make us kids laugh. Because we can see, but that mouse is so small.
Yeah. I don't know that an elephant is afraid of anything. I don't know if they have other than man, which is not a natural predator.
They're not afraid of much, but they are deathly afraid of bees.
Well, they don't like to get stung.
Mm-hmm. Anything else, they just, walk on by.
So they don't like the bees. They got a big brain. You know what? Let me tell you something. Brain that big, there, they might have their, they have their own language. They go to their own graveyards. They mourn the loss of it. They're as smart as us. We just don't know it yet. Because we're dumb.
Well, same thing with the whales.
Yep.
Now, this is something that you would know if you thought about it, but maybe you've never really pondered it. What happens if you're in space and you start crying? Say you're on the space station.
Yeah. Well, gravity makes your tears fall. I don't know. Probably you get puddles of tears in front of your eyes, and it floats around with you, and it goes out like those slinky eyes and comes back, goes out, comes back. And the more you're crying, the longer the slinky eyes get.
Well, because there is no gravity, the tears, they just kind of well up and stay there until you wipe them away.
Yeah. Imagine a big crybaby up there, big old crybaby.
It would be an impediment.
Yep.
Especially if you're out doing a spacewalk and you get all emotional.
Yep. And you got the visor on and you're spacewalking and your big crybaby.
Because you can't touch your own face.
Yep. Can't wipe them away.
Nope.
That's why a guy like, you know, Dave or Junior couldn't do it. You and I could.
Oh, absolutely.
But, you know, Junior, who, you know, does a half-assed job pulling weeds, and Dave, who hasn't had a...
Junior, we probably shouldn't tell you this while you're out in a spacewalk, but AOC just broke a nail.
And then your visor gets all full of tears.
Mm-hmm.
Floating tears.
There have been eight episodic TV shows in the United States to produce over 10,000 episodes. There are eight of them. Eight episodic television shows.
10,000 episodes?
Yes.
I would. That's.
That's a lot.
That's impossible. They've got to be something ridiculous. What is it?
Well,
like Meet the Press or something?
Of the eight.
Oh, episodic.
Of the eight, seven are soap operas,
because
they're on
sense.
Every day.
Yep, you know, your Secret Storms and your Searching for Tomorrow and your Guiding Light.
The eighth is The Tonight Show.
Yeah, it goes way, that goes back to the...
Birth of television.
Yep, early 50s.
Mm-hmm. A food critic for the Los Angeles Times.
I can't do my spacewalk. Sorry about that.
Is a food critic for the Los Angeles Times, and he has produced his definitive listing of the best and worst fast food French fries in America.
Oh, I want to hear this. Back in the day, back when Haney and I were, and they still used lard, your McDonald's was the best fry around.
Oh, that's the Uber fry.
Yep, it was. People say, oh, they love McDonald's French fries.
You don't know.
You don't know.
Give me some of them lard fries and a fried apple pie.
Yep. Oh, that was living.
Now, he graded the fries on two criteria, taste and texture. But as it turns out, in most cases, the fries either had good taste and texture or failed both.
Oh, okay.
What would you like first, the top five or the bottom five?
Obviously, we'll want to go with the top five first. These are the ones, and then we'll save the embarrassment for last.
Top five. Five Guys.
Okay. I got my opinion.
McDonald's.
Still there. Still there.
Del Taco.
I don't know what those, they're like.
Steak and Shake.
Yes. Yes. Their shoestring fries
yep.
Are good.
And Arby's.
Really?
The bottom five.
Here we go.
And remember, he's L.A.-based. In-N-Out.
Yeah, that's West Coast.
Sonic. Rallies.
West Coast.
Jollibee.
Yeah, that's another West Coast.
And Wiener Schnitzel.
I've eaten at one of those places.
Wiener Schnitzel?
Yeah. I'll tell you. So I go up and visit my mom in Pennsylvania. Now, they're getting older, so they don't like to travel around Pennsylvania like they used to. When I was younger and my daughter was a child, we used to go up to Pennsylvania, and they used to take us, her and her husband, used to go and take us to the best places to get Wiener Schnitzel and brats. And went up the last time, and my mom says, we've got a great place for Wiener Schnitzel. Oh, really? It's in the mall.
And yeah. What's it called?
A Wiener Schnitzel. And it was the chain place in the mall. I said, this ain't the kind of stuff you used to take me out for. But they're getting older, and it's easier to go to the mall.
Yep, and his rankings have been receiving angry responses ever since they were posted. Evidently, people have strong opinions about French fries.
Here's the thing. Now, you and I are both in agreement. Steak and Shake fries.
Love them.
They're good. McDonald's still holds up. I mean, they're not even close to what they were when we were younger.
The thing with McDonald's is they got to be piping hot.
Yes.
If they get cool, it's like, oh, geez.
But the Five Guys, here's one thing that I don't like. And I don't know how many people are with me on this. You know, and I used to like the diner crinkle cut fries.
Mm-hmm.
Those were Five Guys has their own potatoes there, and they make them and they leave the skin on them. They put them into fry shapes and they fry them up to make a good crispy French fry, because theirs is not crispy. Make a good crispy French fry. The potatoes have to be blanched first. In other words, you start cooking the potato.
And then you hand them over to Blanche, and yeah, she does what she does.
After you start cooking them, she does what she does and cooks them the second time. And that's when you get the crispy French fries. So I go to Five Guys, and I'm eating because I love their burgers and stuff. But I'll go and eat their French fries, and they're a little soggy, and they because they don't blanch them and then fry them up. And I'm not a big fan of that. Some people love them. Some people get them in the brown paper bag, load them right up, and they just love them. It's just not the kind of fry that I like. I like a good crinkle. I like a good shoestring.
What about a curly?
Not really. No, especially a seasoned curly fry.
What about a steak fry?
Not a big fan of a steak fry either. I'll eat them, but I'm not a big fan of a steak. Junior, what's your favorite French fry? All of them? All of them?
I like Wendy's.
Wendy's is an in-between. It's not a
tweener.
Yeah, it's not a shoestring fry, but it's not a regular fry. Oh, let's go to West Coast Dave, who knows all the In-N-Out burgers and the fat burgers. Best French fry.
Best French fry, I would say I like In-N-Out burger, but I like a good curly fry, man. I like a good Arby's curly fry.
Is Arby's is curly, Haney?
They have curly. They have both.
Yeah, I like their seasoning on those. Those are good.
Yeah,
those
that's good. Why Dave and
so I. So you like a seasoned fry.
Yeah, yeah. But In-N-Out Burger's got good fries. I don't know why they're at the bottom of the list. That's kind of a bummer.
Yeah. You've been listening, have you?
Well, I can hear things.
Yeah,
man.
Go back and lie
he
down.
He knows things.
He's lying on the floor. Go back and lie
down. I'm just lounging, pal.
On the floor.
Jeez.
Yeah.
Hey, doing work, son.
Yeah. It's under a roof. It's air conditioned. Why are you.
I wouldn't stay there, though. It's a different world after Irma.
It sure is. Right again, Stan.
Yeah.
In a moment.
I am Bill O'Reilly with today's good news. Here's Southwest Florida's most respected anchorman, my colleague, Mark Haney.
Bill, 56-year-old Stanley Rogers of Thomasville, North Carolina, likes to wander, and sometimes that gets him in trouble.
Yep.
Stanley went with his girlfriend. She had an appointment to get her taxes done Tuesday morning. And as she was filing her taxes, he wandered off and headed to the Wells Fargo Bank across the street. While there, he robbed the place. After the teller gave him the cash, he moseyed back over to the tax place, convenient location. The employees at the bank simply watched him. He was in no hurry, and they passed that info along to the police, who arrested Stanley at the tax place less than 5 minutes post-robbery.
Yep.
He was charged with bank robbery.
The woman, completely blameless, apparently knew nothing about it.
Oh. That's what happens when you make Stanley bored.
Yep.
He wanders.
Yep, and robs a bank.
Who knows what he'll get himself into this time.
Somebody wants to know, do I enjoy a waffle fry? Yes. Yes, I do.
There's a certain barbecue place that does a waffle fry drenched in cheese and bacon served with a ranch dressing. That is...
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
Is just this side of heaven.
Oh.
As long as you don't have to work the next day.
Right.
It's going to be difficult to sleep that night.
Yeah. A lot of tossing and turning. Yep. A lot of up and down.
You know how that happens? You're laying down to go to sleep and you're almost there and you hear a noise and you think, is that a burglar? No, that's just my stomach.
There's a restaurant called Agave Kitchen in Hudson, Wisconsin, that offers buffalo fries. They are a thick-cut fry with your option of a buffalo sauce smothered all over them. Thank you. Thank you, no. Although I like a good chili fry. Chili fry's nice.
It's got to be done quick, though, because the structural integrity is under immediate attack.
Oh, you're absolutely right, because it'll get soggy on you underneath there, and then you're trying to scoop it up with two fingers, and the paper in the basket's getting in your way. Yeah.
Think about the investment that we put into our children.
Hundreds of thousands of dollars.
Not to mention the hundreds of thousands of hours.
Yes. If you want to go and help raise your child, yes.
All your love and affection, they're carrying your hopes and dreams.
You hope your child turns out better than you, both success-wise. You want to see him as far as intelligence goes, succeeding. I'm just going to not beat around. You want to be proud of him.
Yep.
You don't want to embarrass daddy.
Well, we can only imagine how this 61-year-old woman in Atlanta feels.
Uh-oh.
The 61-year-old woman got into an argument with her 32-year-old son on Tuesday.
Oh, younger than Dave.
The argument was over a box of Cheez-Its.
Dave's familiar with those arguments, too.
Now, apparently, the son had been drinking.
Naturally.
His name is Jeremy Wyatt.
Maybe leave the room, Dave, because this is hitting too close to home.
And the argument over the Cheez-Its got so heated.
How heated did it get?
The mother and her other son decided it was time to call the police.
Yep. Dave, please leave the room. You don't need this.
Jeremy wasn't pleased when he found out that they'd involved the police, so he did the only thing he could do.
What's that?
He locked his mother and brother in a room upstairs, went outside, got some gas, and set the house on fire.
Yeah, look at this mother. Look at this guy. He'd do it, too. I'm looking at him. He'd do it and overachieve it.
The other son was somehow able to get Mama out the window on the second floor, so they are both okay, and the fire department was able to save the house, not to say it wasn't severely damaged.
Yeah.
Jeremy is now facing charges for arson and criminal damage to property.
Yep.
Because of Cheez-Its.
Cheez-Its.
Oh, jeez.
Taking a look at him right now. He's 32 years old, and I'll tell you right now, he hasn't missed a meal. Mama made sure he was fed.
Is that a mugshot or Owen Mills? I can't tell.
It's got a nice background, a cloud background on it, doesn't it?
Yeah.
It does. But
he's acting like a mugshot.
Yeah. What the?
Hello, I'm Bill Curtis of Investigative Reports. For our final story, here is Southwest Florida's most respected anchorman, Mark Haney.
Bill, you know, Stan, as you so often say, the heart wants what the heart wants.
Yep, no explanation.
And sometimes the heart wants more than is allowed.
Yep.
There's a 36-year-old man identified only as Zhang in China. And between 2015 and 2017, Zhang got married to three different women and produced at least one child with each woman. None of them had any idea about the others.
Oh, really? That's a lot of work.
They all thought they were married to Zhang, and that was it.
Yeah, Zhang going on another business trip, and he's just going to the other household.
Well, suffice it to say, Zhang realized, okay, I have got myself a handful here, huh?
Yeah.
I got to consolidate things. They still didn't know about each other, even after Zhang moved all three into apartments less than a mile apart so it wouldn't be so exhausting going back and forth.
It's a little easier.
Apparently, Zhang runs a successful real estate business, so money really wasn't an issue. And it was easy for him to explain away being away for long stretches of time with all these business trips. One of his wives finally caught on last year. And what did she do?
What'd the smart one do?
Went straight to the police. Because that's how things work in China. You involve the government immediately.
Yeah.
Now, apparently, all three of Zhang's wives were shocked.
Oh, yeah. Mortified.
They all agreed that Zhang was an excellent husband, one even going so far as to say he would always do the dishes after dinner.
I better.
Now, he's going to rot away for 2 years in a red Chinese gulag. His plan afterward is to cut his losses and bring things down to one manageable wife.
Ah, good.
But which one?
Which one?
Zhang says, quote, "I see who forgive me. I be with her."
Yep. First one to come forward.
And that's the news for today, Thursday, February 14th.
Double MXIX.
I am Southwest Florida's most respected anchorman.
There he is, little Marky Haney, telling it like it is.
And how does that benefit anybody? I would imagine his business might suffer with 2 years away.
Haney, the texts are already coming in. Come on. Give us the accent.
Ding dong, ding dong, ding dong dong.
But the if Valentine's Day, why they don't give me Valentine's Day pardon? The hurt wounds with the hurt wounds.
He's in a red China gulag.
Red Chinese gurug. They say, you must come now, Zhang. You come here now. I say, I have real estate business. They say, no, 2 years.
And which one will you take back, Zhang?
I take back the one that still like me. What? I say, which one still love me? The other two, you go now. Especially the one call it red Chinese body. You care 30 on me? How dare you?
Jason and Todd from the Diamond District.
You? Not so nice.
No. The one who forgive me, win.
One forgive me, big winner.
I'm sure Stan and Haney have a really funny joke coming up. Right, guys? Stan and Haney on 96K Rock.
Stop putting pressure on us. Hey, everybody, Stan and Haney. Thank you for spending the afternoon with us. Greatly appreciated. Rob Show coming up at 6 o'clock. He'll take you through your evening. We got time now to give you one more update on traffic for your drive home this afternoon.
Now, K-Rock traffic.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Haney entertaining the gang outside.
Yeah, don't get it. I don't know why people are so...
One more quick one.
Hello, everybody. You go safe home now.
Disabled vehicle, Fort Myers. It's at the midpoint bridge. That's great.
You drive too fast.
Fort Myers.
Slow down.
Crash. 15,000 block of South Tamiami Trail.
You order by number.
And in Lehigh Acres. Crash.
You want a Kung Pao Street?
Williams Avenue.
You want a Genesee?
And West 17th Street.
You want a street fried rice? Okay, then. You order by number.
Time once again for another Stan and Haney stand-up comedy classic. Classic comedy like it used to be on 96K-Rock.
When you think about it, dentists, they don't do the surgery. They don't even clean the teeth. They're like, you guys do everything, and then I'll come in and jab them with a sharp object. I did figure out what type of doctor I would want to be, which is an anesthesiologist. Because just once, I'd like to walk in a room and go, hi, I'm Dr. Gaffigan. I'm going to give you some drugs so you can't talk or move. And one of these strangers is going to cut you open. Good luck. What draws someone to anesthesiology? It's like, I like medicine, but I really enjoy getting people high. If I can combine the two. I also prefer to sit during surgery. You ever see the anesthesiologist during surgery? They're always sitting there like, I don't even know why I have to be here. Yeah, they're still alive. Anyone got the Wi-Fi password?
Have yourselves a great evening. Lord willing, we're back here tomorrow at 2 o'clock. Big Friday show. This is the Stan and Haney Show, 96K Rock. And we leave you this afternoon with this. Jesse James Dupree joins us from Jackal, who are going to be performing tomorrow night at the Southwest Florida Event Center in Bonita. Get your tickets, and it's a great place to see a show. It should be unique with you guys there.
Yeah, it'd be great. It's going to be a lot of fun. And then tomorrow afternoon, I'm doing a bottle signing for the Jesse James.
Do you know what time you're going to be
Total
doing
Wine
that?
And Spirits between 5 and 5:30. We'll be starting at Total Wine in Estero. And so it's in that really nice shopping center there in Estero. So it's a brand new Total Wine. Total Wine, man, those guys lay it out.
Yeah, that's right there in Coconut Point, isn't it?
Yeah, it's and they that's like their second one they've opened in the Fort Myers area, and then they got another one down Naples too. But this is the new one right here in Estero. 30. You have to admit, though, I mean, you guys back in the early 90s came on with such like gangbusters, and you just shook up the music industry. So people our age and younger. You're so important to us, man. It was like that was a good time.
But I'm still offended because we don't know who at the station cut the chickens off the end of the lumberjack.
Oh, yeah.
when you ended the song, he cuts the chickens off.
There's chickens. Yeah, Haney can bring up the song. I want to hear the chickens at the end. Do you know
the story about the chickens?
No, tell me.
It's a good story about the chickens. You guys will appreciate the story about the chickens. No, you go to the very end of the song. Can you go to the end of it? Get to the very end.
This computer doesn't work very well, don't worry.
There's chickens at the very...
So the song is... So we had to do the song live every night. And because what was captured for the record was what ended up being live. You got it?
It won't go.
It won't go. For,
all right, when it gets to that point, we'll bring it up.
So we're in the studio. And you can just let it be. And I'll tell you this quick story. So we're in the studio. And the captain and Tennille own the studio.
Uh-huh.
Jackal recorded our first album in the studio with Captain and Tennille.
Well, it's a natural fit.
Well, but let me tell you, Appetite for Destruction was recorded there. Guns
really?
And Roses. Yeah. Motley Crue recorded there. When we recorded there, across the hall from us was the Traveling Wilburys.
Get the hell
so
out!
No way.
I'll tell you, I lost my mind. I saw my first Beatle. I mean, George Harrison walked in.
Oh, I am such a fan.
See, let me tell you something. And at the end of the night, when they would leave, because you had Roy Orbison and Petty.
Jeff Lynne.
Yeah, and these guys would leave at the end of the night, and I would go across the hall into their studio, and I'd pick their guitars up.
Uh-oh.
You know, Roy Orbison's Rickenbacker.
Well,
it would still be warm from where they were playing it. And that just for me as a rock and roll fan, it was just so
well,
cool.
Well, yeah, you got the all-star team next door.
Yeah, and I got to tell you this.
Did you ever have a run-in talk to them?
So when they were there, up front was their reserved parking, right?
Yeah.
And they were driving rental cars, but they were like Lamborghinis and stuff like that.
Yeah.
We were in a Dodge Kia or something, a Dodge whatever in the back, you know, just it was where we parked. But we went in the studio, and Ted Nugent was down the hall from us.
Wow.
With the damn Yankees. So there's all three groups in there at Studio A, B, and C, and we were in the main room in A. The Wilburys were in B, and then Ted and them were mixing in C and doing some guitar overdubs and stuff. And so Ted was in the back of the studio with he had a whole bunch of bales of hay, and he was shooting bows and arrows, practicing his hunting and stuff, right? And so I went, because it's kind of sterile, us in the studio, and Captain and Tennille own the studio, okay? And I'm not even kidding you. Tony Tennille, sweet as she can be, the captain's a freak. Captain he'd see you come down the hall, and he'd step in a closet to keep from talking to you. But Tony come in, give you hugs, just like you'd think she is. So and at nighttime, when they'd all leave, we'd go upstairs in the attic, and they had all the props from the TV show, the Captain and
TV
show.
Yeah, they had a variety show.
So he had like the big captain's hat that was really huge and stuff.
Yeah.
And we'd be running around with that thing.
That's amazing.
I wish we had cell phones back in, because we were not able to get photos. Somewhere there's photographs, but it wasn't like it was social media today. But so I go up about an hour north.
Is it coming?
Is this it? Okay, listen, you're about to hear the chickens, which is perfect time because I'm about to tell you what I did with the hail bay, the bells of hay. Now, the producer's following me around with a chainsaw with a microphone so he can capture everything. The end of the song comes up, and I throw the chainsaw down.
Whether you like it or whether you don't.
And I go running into the drum booth.
Well,
we bought 40 chickens and roosters and let them run loose in the studio. And they would roost at night. And then you hear this.
Meow, meow, meow.
Okay. So there's 40.
You know what? I'll be honest with you. I played that song 1,000 times, and I don't remember that.
So there's 40 chickens and roosters cut loose in the studio, and this hay strode everywhere. And at nighttime, they'd all go in with the old drum, because we didn't use the drum booth from the 70s. Though they had a little isolated drum booth. And so the chickens would find their way in there at night and roost. So I'm in there doing a lumberjack song. Of course, they're in there scared to hell out of me anyway, because I'm in there playing his chainsaw. So I throw the chainsaw down, I run in there, the producer follows me with a microphone, and we get the chickens, and he just leaves it on the track. So that the record goes out and it does the thing. So, but every night we would have to record this song live. And so I was grabbing a different piece of furniture every day out of the captain's lounge and stuff and cutting stuff up to get that sound. And the record company called and said, hey, what are you doing, wild man? I said, I'm just making this record. He goes, they tell me you're cutting up the captain's furniture. And I said, yeah. I said, and he goes, I don't care if you cut up that console. You better be making a great record.
Blue skies. Yeah. Every day's a gift.
96 K-Rock.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.